This is a traffic safety, safety meeting held on July 19th. We'll take roll. Chairman Reese. Commissioner Chase.
Here.
Commissioner Gillis.
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Here.
Commissioner Giron. Commissioner Carl.
Here.
Commissioner Osgood.
Here.
Okay, so we're going to handle this meeting a little slightly different than the past couple of meetings that we're talking about are going to be the same things. We're going to have the commission talk about each of these locations and have their discussions. The board has asked that they make their final recommendation, so in order at this meeting, so that the board can discuss it at the August 28th meeting. In order to do that, we're going to have the commission discuss each of these items and make a formal recommendation to the board. Have those discussions, and then we will certainly open it up to public comment. And at that point, the commission can open anything back up that they feel the need to discuss or change their minds on based on public comment. However, we've been asked to provide final recommendations to the board, so that's the goal here this evening. So with that in mind, we're going to kind of go through a bit of a sequence here. We're going to first discuss the stop sign items that are on the agenda. Then we're going to discuss the barricades over on Harlem Avenue at Greenfield and Lemoyne, and then we're going to discuss the cul-de-sacs up by North Avenue. So with that being said, the first item on the agenda is the adoption of the minutes. Thank you, Interim Chairperson. So go ahead with your motion.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion for the adoption of the minutes from the meeting held on May 17th.
Second.
Comments? Shall we take a roll? Vote.
Commissioner Wayne?
Approved.
Mr. Carl?
Approved.
Mr. Osgood?
Approved.
Motion passed.
I didn't get to vote.
Were you seconded?
I vote. Okay, sorry. Just check.
All right, so the first item up for discussion is the...
That would kill us too. Yes.
Yep.
Four-way stop signs at the intersection of Clinton Place and Lemoyne Street. As of right now, this was an two-way stop in the east-west direction that was changed to, a four-way stop with existing stop signs on Lemoyne removed, making it a two-way stop intersection. So the request was potentially to make this a four-way stop intersection again.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion to put a four-way stop at the intersection of Clinton Place and Lemoyne.
Do you want a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, discussion?
We don't need to bring up papers.
Pardon me?
He was asking for the exhibit, but it seems pretty universal amongst you all. Oh.
Well, here, I'll just, basically, this is, that was removed because when we're going from Bonnie Gray, there's a stop, four-way stop, and then we moved one over to Monroe.
William.
But this will now put three in a row. Okay, so, you know, it's already striped, as you can see there. And it's something that was removed, and I know a couple of residents had requested that we put it back. I know there's an issue with, some buses picking up children in that corner. I know the one gentleman who spends his winter summer fun, I can't remember where, was missing that that four-way stop. So, any other comments?
Nope.
Jeff can bring this up. I just want to look at the three ways so we can understand. All right, so this is the intersection.
So right now, Bonnie Gray and Lemoyne is a four-way, and William and Lemoyne is a two-way.
William was converted. Green is existing. Those reds were added.
So that's the three in a row we're talking about.
Correct.
We would have if we did this one.
Right. Correct.
Correct.
Correct. It would be all of these intersections, including Ohio.
So do we need a vote?
Let's take a vote.
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoy?
Yes.
Commissioner Carl?
Yes.
Commissioner Osgood?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, so the next stop sign intersection to discuss is the request by the board to install a three-way stop at the intersection of Bonnie Bray and Greenfield Street. So down here, currently traffic stops in the south direction. There really is no south leg of the intersection. That is the Fenway baseball lot driveway, if you will. And traffic in the east-west direction currently does not stop. So this is a three-block span where there are no east-west stops.
I'll make a motion to install, I'm going to call it a four-way stop sign at the intersection of Bonnie Bray and Greenfield Street.
I'll second that.
Okay, and I'm calling it a four-way because we've got the one southbound. There is a current stop sign at the northbound parking lot. And I don't know if that's actually Fenway property. I noticed there is a residence driveway that's on there. So, and I don't know if you guys plow it or not, that little strip there.
No, that's all private property, so that would... That
they
would
must have an easement then. Yeah. Okay. But there is a stop sign there right now.
But is that our stop sign or their stop sign?
I think it's our stop sign because there's a cross traffic does not stop below it.
So theoretically, it would be a four-way stop even though there's only
correct
three.
Besides, I would want them to stop coming out of that parking lot.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway. Yes.
I mean, it looks from the picture, it doesn't show a stop sign there, just in terms of if it's ours or not.
Yeah, we could certainly look into that. We wouldn't be looking, there is a stop sign there. Staff wouldn't be looking to remove anything for what that's worth.
Yep.
So we're really talking about, and nomenclature aside, really talking about whether or not you all want to recommend addition of east-west stops here.
Great. Shall we vote?
Any more comment?
Okay.
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoy?
Yes.
Commissioner Carl?
Yes.
Commissioner Osgood?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, with that, we will kind of continue up in a counterclockwise motion first, or direction, I should say. First, looking at Lemoyne and Harlem. And bear with me. Currently, those are right in, right out. I know I'm passing it here, but I think it's an old exhibit. Yeah, that was it. That was what was initially installed. It was right out only. It has since been changed to a right in, right out.
And if I've driven that, I went by it purposely, and you can't get across from the Oak Park side. You can't cross Harlem.
Correct. Correct. So that is essentially what is out there currently.
And what are we proposing?
This is, so the board is looking for direction on whether or not to install this, because right now it's all the plastic barriers.
Right.
So is this something that the commission is in favor of keeping and making permanent? And by permanence, I'm suggesting removal of the barricades and installing, you know, a curved, a permanent version of this out of, you know,
in the middle of the street where the plastic barriers are.
So the board is looking for kind of finality at this, at each of these locations. Obviously, this is the one we're discussing. So is this something that the commission wants to keep in place on a permanent basis or not?
And this is the first street south of North Avenue at Harlem.
Correct. Yes, I'm sorry. I skipped over Greenfield.
Yeah, Harlem,
I apologize.
Yeah.
It's this
Lemoyne. Harlem and Lemoyne.
Lemoyne. Okay.
We'll start there.
Correct.
Yes.
So we would just need a motion of
so moved.
So moved, sorry, let me clarify this. So moved to what?
Install permanent barriers at Lemoyne and Harlem.
Correct.
As they exist with the plastic shown currently.
Yes. I'll second that.
Excuse me, I apologize, but are you going to pass all these things and then we make our comments?
Yes.
After you pass them?
The discussion is taking place first and then public comment is taking place after, but as I clarified earlier, if the public comment, if the commission upon hearing public comment chooses to go back and revisit any of these, that's certainly their prerogative, but the board has requested that some finality be established here tonight. So we need to get through a final recommendation before we can take public comment.
But does it make more sense if we listen to the public first?
I don't disagree with you, but the problem is that's the order that we've taken things the last couple of meetings, and there's been so much public comment that the commission hasn't had a chance to discuss and vote on these things. And this is the third meeting, and the board has asked us to make final recommendations. So, unfortunately, I'm sorry if you don't like that approach, but that's the approach that we need to take tonight to establish some final recommendations for the board. But we absolutely will have time for public comment. Absolutely. So I'll return to the commission for discussion at this location, LeMoyne and Harlan.
Well, we made a motion, we have a second. I don't think I have anything else to say except that if we don't have a unanimous vote, then we could possibly look at it, but I think we're all in agreement here.
Yeah, and I think we modified it from the original, so now, you know, with concerns from the residents turning in from Harlem, going southbound, we took care of that. We can turn out, what we've stopped is the left-bound turn going into those two streets. And I think the design will be much different, because I still, every time I, you know, my new route from Fresh Time is go down that route, I still see every car go straight and it'll park it.
It so. Is, I will qualify that with the barricades, it is hard to establish kind of a tighter
yes.
radius, so yes, it would be slightly different.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The only non-comment that's maybe slightly at odds with that is that when we put up these temporary barricades, I voted against a couple of them because my view was that in order to get any sense of what's actually helping the problem, we can't do it all at once and then see what happens. We have to take it one step at a time. We have to make small changes and see if those help. And if those don't help, we can make some additional changes. So I felt that way when we were putting up plastic barricades, and I really feel that way when we're going to spend money to put up cement barricades. And so, you know, I think when we vote on this, we should keep in mind that, you know, this is permanent. And so while we can always do it later, we can't really undo it later as easily. And so, you know, the idea of putting in, I know that we're not on North Avenue piece yet, but, you know, the idea of putting in, say, one cul-de-sac on North Avenue, and, you know, one barrack and one right out right in on Harlem and seeing what happens is, to me, more appealing and more prudent than doing everything at once and then watching what happens. That's what I'll say about that.
Well, I think you're probably going to hear some commentary, at least from me, when we get to Greenfield, because of what's going on with Fenwick. And if we shut that down or if we install a permanent barricade, when the buses do start rolling in and they can't get out via Greenfield, that's going to be an issue, I think, there.
But they can get out, right? Right, they can get out.
They can turn right turn.
I don't know if a permanent structure will allow for a 45-foot bus to make a right turn.
Okay, hold up, everybody. That's certainly something when we do contract with a consultant to do design, that's certainly the auto turn is a program that you can plug vehicles into and try to accommodate as many as possible. I don't know off the top of my head. We're talking about a 6-inch curb, but that's certainly something we can look at if the vote is to approve these on a permanent basis. That's something we could look at.
Okay. Well, we're on LeMoyne.
In Harlem.
In Harlem.
That's correct.
And I'm ready to vote
okay,
on
you.
That
corner.
Specific corner.
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Carlo?
No.
Commissioner Oscar?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, and now I will bring up the exhibit for Greenfield and Harlem. So there's a pending appeal. Keep in mind, you voted to recommend stop sign at this location.
With this, there's going to be a lot more work that we have to do with bus parking as Fenwick evolves. there are just going to be more issues. I voted for the four-way stop at Bonnie Bray and Greenfield. At this point in time, to do something permanent might be premature unless we can get clarity, and this can obviously, you know, we can prove this and send it up to the board with a notation that there are buses that obviously have to be facing east because they can't get in from Harlem. The buses will be facing east and they need to be able to get out. And also, you know, people do move in and move out of River Forest. So there's probably going to be moving vans, moving trucks, delivery trucks, and the like that needs to be able to exit southbound on Harlem. I'm okay with the configuration. I'm okay with the way it is, but I just wanted the board to understand our concern with eastbound heavy duty vehicles and them being able to exit River Forest efficiently.
The one thing we could look at Greenfield is it doesn't necessarily have to be a 6-inch curb either. I mean, there are some right-to-right outs that you can create out of just kind of a slightly raised, kind of like a rumble strip sort of thing, where larger vehicles would be able to traverse that without a problem. The issue is then other vehicles could also traverse that much more easily too. So that it doesn't have to be necessarily the same exact design. There's a different accommodation at this location that we can certainly try to incorporate into the specific design.
Well, that being said, I'm fine with making it permanent with the caveat that somebody upstairs gets an engineer report or a road builder's report that says this is what you'll be able to do once Fenwick really starts using this and everybody else. So I would make a motion to make that existing permanent with that notation.
And that is certainly something that we would, when bringing a contract for construction to the board, would clarify that in that discussion as well. So that would be part of the public discussion.
Yeah, because I think in that corner, looking at the southeast corner, they may have to trim part of that corner out to accommodate the buses, which would be fine. I mean, there's no resident right there. That's
That could be part of the design, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have the motion, we just need a second.
Not anybody take into consideration the results of the survey.
Hold on. I understand you're upset. I get it. This is the order that we're taking items. We will absolutely have room for public comment earlier.
Please note the resident's objection.
We will have time for public comment, and you will be able to.
All of the comments.
Please stop. You will have opportunity to note your objection later on this evening.
Yeah, we're noting now our objection.
Please stop.
We're noting now our objection.
That's great. It's on the audio. That's great. So yes, we can absolutely work that into the design. If we want to carve out the southwest corner curbing to accommodate that further, that's something we can also incorporate into the design. So we have a motion. Did we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner Carl?
No.
Commissioner Osgood?
Yes.
All right, so now we're going to go up to Bonnie, Gray, and North. So again, this is a full cul-de-sac at just south of the alley, just south of North Avenue on Bonnie Bray. There's a dead-end sign at the south end, so that would be at Bonnie and Lemoyne for northbound traffic. Currently, there's no traffic north or southbound that's allowed to go through here. Same situation as the others. We're looking for a motion and a vote on whether or not this is to be made permanent or modified in some way or removed altogether.
Well, now that we're getting into the North Avenue situation, I wanted to speak to the alleys, which I don't think are on. Are we going to be bringing that up afterwards, the alley situation?
It could be part of the conversation. If we don't have anything specific, but you're able to discuss whatever you want to discuss, as long as we get motion on each.
What did you want to bring up the alley?
Okay, I'll bring up the alley.
Do you want to bring it up now, or do you want to bring it up later?
Well, let's just talk about that. Yeah, we can talk about the alley now.
Okay, then, I'll just quickly speak to the alleys in the northwest, north-south, just west of Harlem, and then the east-west, which has become a superhighway from what I've read, and we have received a lot of correspondence from constituents, our neighbors, our friends, with what's going on out there, the businesses as well. And I've never really recommended this in my career here since 2006, but the alleys need to be slowed down, and I think there's going to be a couple of recommendations from some of the commissioners, and I just wanted to bring up, and Carol, you're going to love this. My little input here would be that I think in this situation, along with some other suggestions that are forthcoming, I think that the temporary speed bumps from whatever, March until December, whatever, it's not snowing, well, March to February probably. I think slowing down traffic, and this is what I took from all of you people over the course of the last 6 months, the traffic is substantial, it's fast, there's a lot of it in these alleyways. And again, as we make these changes with these cul-de-sacs, some of you which are for and some of you which are against, it creates different traffic flow patterns. But it seemed that the existing, pre-discussion and pre-change, there's still issues in these alleys. And I'm going to ask that the commissioners consider that we install, where the village sees fit, these temporary...
you can't say the word.
temporary speed bumps in the east-west alleys and the north-south alleys. And with that being said, I'm going to stop talking to let you guys digest, and I think Rick has something else to bring up with regard to the alleyways.
Yeah, the other thing that I noticed when we were up there is there's no stop signs in the alley, and I know the north-south alley just west of Harlem, hundreds of cars are parked in there, and I think we need to put some stop signs really between the North Avenue alley all the way down to the Greenfield alley, so there'd be four stop signs there, and then I think one at that T, that's a blind T with that garage right on the corner of the alley there, and you can't see anything.
As they're coming in from
Harlem. Yeah, so there'd be a stop sign in the middle of that alley between Bonnie Bray and Harlem. So make that a three-way stop. You can figure out the logistics of how to get those stop signs in there.
Say where again?
Pardon me?
Can you say that again, where you were proposing that?
Oh, so the alley that's running behind the Shell station and Cassidy Tire there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a garage right there. I mean, lot line to lot line on the corner. And I think you need to break that up, because anyone that sticks their nose out and you have someone speeding, either direction, they're going to hit you. And if someone's walking around the corner, I think the gentleman said that he walks down the alley and you can't hear these new cars that are so quiet. So in addition to what you're saying, I'm suggesting that we put in stop signs as well.
And I have an agreement.
Question. This is all to do with the cul-de-sac at Bonnie Bray.
It's to do with what a lot of comments that we've heard about children. In fact, we got a letter from a gentleman here.
But this is the Bonnie Bray and North Avenue cul-de-sac, but we haven't decided there's going to be a cul-de-sac yet, if I'm correct.
Right.
So would you make these, you'd make the same recommendations if there wasn't a cul-de-sac there?
What is that?
I would feel yes, and here's why. Even before the cul-de-sacs were there, if you're out there, the people are still, we're going down Cassidy Tire and zipping down that to avoid the red, you know, the right on red there. And they go fast.
Jeff, would you tell, what do we call the installation that we have at North and Forest?
So it's a right out home.
So that's not a cul-de-sac.
Correct. The cul-de-sac would be kind of just a dead stop.
Right. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out.
Right.
So, but if we do the right out.
Which is what Bonnie currently is in a temporary condition.
I almost feel that we should make two motions.
That's
right. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
I think the alleys need to be addressed one way or the other.
Even without a cul-de-sac, I think they still need to be addressed.
Agreed. Right.
Yeah.
Agreed. So, we'll need to see what happens. And I would make a motion to install the stop signs and the temporary speed bumps in the east-west alley.
Between Harlem and Bonnie?
Between Harlem and William. Well, the speed bumps would be all the way to William.
Yeah,
all the way to William.
Okay, all of them.
Stop signs and speed bumps from William to Harlem, and stop signs and speed bumps from Greenfield North to the Shell station.
In that alley, the alley.
The alley west of Harlem. Yeah, I think it's a separate motion.
Yes.
I think we might have some traction here.
And placement would be at your discretion.
Oh, the speed bumps.
Of the speed bumps.
Okay. And these are temporary speed bumps being discussed, correct?
Well, I think only because of plowing. Okay. You know, so you can pull them up in the winter. Okay. And put them back in the spring. But the real pain in the butt ones with the.
Yep.
That Oak Park uses everywhere.
And so you do stop.
Is the motion been made?
Wait, does the alley stop at William?
Yes. Sorry. I don't see what it does. The Montessori right there.
So did I make my motion correctly then?
Sure, I'll recap it for everybody. So the motion on the table from Commissioner Osgood is to install speed bumps and stop signs.
Temporary speed bumps.
Seasonal city bumps and permanent stop signs in the east-west alleys between Harlem and William, as well as in the north-south alleys between Greenfield and the alley just south of North Avenue. The location of this seasonal speed bumps is at the discretion of staff, and the stop signs will all be at the alley entrances and exits, with the exception of the T intersection, which will have east-west stops at the T. You want a north
and
stop?
North.
Okay.
Yeah, one north stop.
All right, so that's the motion on the table.
And to clarify, this is regardless of what happens with the area.
Correct. Do we need a second on that?
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner Carl?
Yes.
Commissioner Osgood?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right.
Thank you very much. So I have a question I can ask. So now that we're going to have some speed bumps, will there ever come a time in which we can add permanent speed bumps to our arsenal? And if so, I mean, not that I necessarily want to have the whole conversation again, but, you know, if speed bumps are an option, all of a sudden, the things that we could potentially do on Bonnie Bray and Clinton and these, you know, they're, we now have more options that we didn't have before. And seasonal speed bumps are one thing, but permanent speed bumps are a different thing. So I guess, you know, again, I don't know if there's a place for this comment other than to say, before we vote on expensive, or, you know, before we decide that we want to recommend expensive permanent barriers along North Avenue, again, we should think about whether or not we could accomplish something very similar or some traffic mitigating measures using speed bumps instead, particularly if we could make them permanent. So what's the prognosis of a permanent speed bump in this town?
I don't know, we don't have any.
I know, and can we...
I don't think we're going to speed this up.
But let me answer this question really quickly. So part of the village-wide traffic study that's ongoing and is teed up for the September commission discussion, part of that study includes a traffic calming toolbox. That's one of the things that we've heard from the commission for a long time. You know, what are the tools in our toolbox here? So one of the components of the village-wide study is, okay, give us a whole, there's a scoring matrix, there's a cost matrix, there's an implementation matrix that lists 20, 30 different things. There are points that can be assigned to each situation based on the circumstances at that location. And then the point total would let you all know what range of implementation measure is appropriate. So it is very much the permanent side of things. That is very much something that's going to be part of the village-wide discussion.
Yep.
So if you'd rather wait to have that discussion as part of a future discussion, the recommendation tonight would be to potentially remove the cul-de-sac so that it can be discussed in a different context further down the road.
Or could we leave the temporary ones there until the September report?
The board is asking for final recommendations on each of these locations.
And to be clear, that the motion that passed was temporary speed bumps in the alleys.
Correct.
So I kind of see streets and alleys, albeit, you know, there are cars going down both. The alley, the safety in the alleyways, east, west, north, south, is what struck me as necessary to implement the speed bumps and the stop signs. I'm not necessarily sold on speed bumps on, you know, streets. But I do want to have this discussion with regard to cul-de-sacs. Now that we're there, I'd like to hear what everybody else has to say on the cul-de-sacs. Because I'm curious, and I think sending something clear upstairs is important right now. Whether we do something, whether we do nothing, or not, and that's where I'm kind of looking for clarity or at least input from those of us that are sitting here.
Okay, but we're gonna take a second.
We're done. We have a second.
We're good. On the alleys. But now we're not cul-de-sac on bond.
We're not talking cul-de-sac yet.
Yeah, now we're going to be transitioning to...
Well, we haven't taken a vote on that.
We did.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I have a note here.
So can we go to number next one? And then do we want to address Clinton or Bonnie Bray?
Bonnie Bray, I've got that one up here.
Okay,
so this is Bonnie just south of North Avenue.
I just have a question because we're going through this. If we, so our choices are permanent, remove, or some other alternative. If we keep them temporary, what other data will we receive between now and September?
There's no other study. The study for this corner of town is done. The study for the village-wide study, the collection for that is done. So any additional data that is sought by anyone is additional cost at this point.
So keeping them in a temporary state would just be to see what happens without any yet set real analysis on
correct.
But here's the thing. Once we get our toolbox, and let's assume there's speed tables in that.
It is one of the tools.
Which is going to be one of the tools, which everyone knows the speed tables. You know, you like them because Public Works can plow over them. We don't have to remove them. So that's the question then, is, you know, we're kind of, I know we have to get this done from the village board is asking for this to be complete, but, you know, I personally would like to wait a while to, you know, see what's in that toolbox. Because if suddenly, you know, not to use William as an example, if we throw in speed tables every block down Division, or we put in a traffic circle, you know, Lemoyne and William, or whatever is in that toolbox, then that's kind of solving what we're trying to
fix tonight.
Fix here with these people speeding through River Forest.
We may be able to solve these problems with more precision rather than with these sort of blunt instruments, which is what the cul-de-sacs are, which, you know, which is not to say that they may not work, but.
I have a question for you. How is the write out only on Forest been working? It's been there for years, and it works just fine?
Yeah, there are no problems associated with that. I don't remember, have heard of in the last decade.
Well, you would be the one that would hear.
Correct.
So, I mean, rather than putting in a cul-de-sac, which allows nobody, and that's permanent, and we don't have the September study, I'd rather either do the write out or leave what we have for a month or two or three till we see what the study and what's in the toolbox. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, there is a cost involved in removing the plastic barriers only to do something permanent again later, right? I mean, doesn't it make sense to do it only once?
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly see your logic to it.
Would the board be very upset if we did not come to in this particular instance?
Cannot speak for the board.
I understand. My apologies.
Okay, well, let's make a motion to.
Well, with regard to buying Bray.
Right, yeah, but we need a motion to discuss.
We need a motion to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest a motion, you can make a motion to make this permanent. Somebody can make a motion to make it permanent. Somebody can make a motion to remove it. Get a second, and then you could vote it up or down, but then at least
to
make it a right out, or even though the board has requested a final decision on this, if you want to let it remain in a temporary condition, that it's your commission, is your prerogative.
I'm not going to vote for making a permit. Thank you. So the choice is, do we remove it or do we keep it?
Right.
In my mind.
That's the choice tonight.
And while we're not getting any specific data to look at, we are going to be doing alleyway adjustments, and that those were some of the big complaints. So we are addressing some of the complaints. So I do feel like keeping it as is, we will have more data just by hearing from the public, even though it will be the numbers are on the data that we've seen so far. So I'm leaning toward keeping them, even though I don't know that I'm going to be having that same opinion in September.
I'm going to agree with Kim to a certain degree as well. From a traffic and safety perspective, and what we've heard, what we've discussed, the input we received via email from the village, but this toolbox is kind of, it's teasing me a little bit. I want to see what's there. But I'm inclined to agree with Kim and say, for now, we leave it. We don't make anything permanent. And at this point, personally, I'm leaning towards keeping it shut off. But it sounds like we're going to have a lot at our disposal. We'll have two more people sitting here, maybe three more people, actually. We can have a discussion on Bonnie Bray and Clinton in September to finalize, maybe we'll have a lot more to talk about, because with everybody's input from out there, you know, yes, no. So because this is still a democracy, so when there's a yes and a no, and an interesting point that was brought up on the email about, do some people think there's a traffic and safety issue? You think about all of this. Is it just a business perspective, let people come in and out? Is there speeding? Is there wayward cars? Are there kids potentially being injured, bicyclists, so forth and so on? I'd like to do something permanent up there sooner rather than later, but with the toolbox. So I would agree to keep it as is until we can make the final.
Till we get the toolbox.
A suggestion to the board. They might not like that, but it is what it is.
The toolbox plus the speed bumps and alleyway. I think both of those are two things that are going to be different now versus September, depending on how the list will be installed.
So, where are we?
The traffic calming toolbox is being created as part of the village, what the ongoing village-wide study, so yes. Okay, so if there's no more discussion, I, based on the feedback provided, I would ask somebody to make a motion to let it remain in its current state and for further discussion at the September meeting when a traffic toolbox is available.
Are you talking about, you do separately, one at Bonnie Bray and one at
The one at Bonnie Bray and North Avenue, correct?
Okay. So a motion, Bonnie Bray, to keep the temporary barrier.
Close.
With intention to discuss it
in September.
And we have.
Yeah, I'll second that over here. And that will be, we'll have that toolbox by September.
For this, before
yes,
the September?
Yes, it's almost it's
okay,
right at this point already, yes. Any further discussion?
Richard Hayes?
Yes.
Richard Hills?
Yes.
Commissioner Wayne?
Yes.
Commissioner Carl?
Yes.
Commissioner Ozzie?
Yes.
Commissioner Masses?
Now on to
Clinton and North.
Clinton Place and North.
So this is a partial cul-de-sac where northbound traffic can still get north to North Avenue. Southbound traffic is stopped at the alley.
Okay, so this barrier is at the alley?
Correct. Where the red kind of
for
like
Apple Street.
Right.
So the residents could get out going north, go to the alley either, but southbound traffic can only go to the alley.
Correct.
So again, my objective is to open up potentially, but slow traffic to a trickle in any way we can once we get this toolbox. In the meantime, I see this as being similar to what we just voted on with Bonnie Bray and leaving it as is for now until we can address, again, Clinton Place and Bonnie Bray in September.
Well, my opinion here is this is the one that we've heard the most comments from residents about that they want it removed. We're going to be getting our traffic calming toolbox that hopefully we can focus on there. What was the other thing? We saw the huge increase in counts for Monroe and William. So, you know, now the people will continue to go down, you know, Clinton Place will be their first place to start to cut down through. But that's, I think most people want that wide open now. So I'm sure the counts will go back up for that. But I'm inclined to remove them right now.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I'm inclined to remove them until.
Just that one.
That one until we can better evaluate with our traffic calming tools. But I think that's the majority of people want this removed who live out there.
Just a question about the data that we received, but I saw the increased counts on William and Monroe. It did say they were increased more significantly on William and Monroe, but still within a reasonable amount. And that was determined.
Because we don't live on that street.
That was determined by the engineers who did it.
About the
so, would that
I'm sorry,
be
it's difficult to hear.
I mean, is it a residential, is it an average residential street that's that they're considering to be reasonable or that they're doing a study?
Correct.
Or are they looking at the actual specific streets that they're
It's on? Just based on it being a residential street, so no different than a 500 block of Park Avenue here, so that's it.
I didn't think about the kids in Fenwick though on the.
Okay. Yeah, Rick, I just think we need to leave until September.
I agree. I don't want to have to remove it and then in September figure out that, well, oh, now we can put something back.
Well, I am hoping that we're going to have some recommendations from the new traffic consultants, what they're seeing and what we should be doing up there. There's part of this.
There's not this corner of town was carved out of the village-wide site, no. It was a separate site, so there's nothing else coming on this corner of town from a consultant.
This is your residence.
I'd like to look at it comprehensively in September with a toolbox.
Right.
At this moment, to open it up, and it skews, we have some changes coming with the alleyways, you know, as we always speak to evolution and that. We're going to do something there, and it may or may not be open, but at this point in time, it's July, middle of July, and we're going to be sitting here in 2 months with a toolbox to do something. That's why I'm going to make a motion to leave it until September. Sorry, can I comment on that?
Or? No, you have to have a second. I'll second.
Sure.
Now you can.
Can I comment on
that? Yeah, I will.
I don't exactly know which one I'm going to vote on this, but I think one argument in favor of keeping it is that I don't think we want to be too frequent in changing traffic patterns. Like, if we can avoid putting up a temporary barrier, then taking it down, then imposing something else as permanent, I think it's better to not do that. So it's up, and if we're pretty sure we're going to do something there, whether it's make it permanent in September or put in a speed platform in September or do something else in September, I sort of feel like it's better to not, take it away and then put something else there and just have all these changes to a traffic pattern who can avoid it.
I agree.
So, unfortunately, I would disagree. I feel like we've received a lot of comments, pros and cons, and this is one thing that we can do, we receive the most comments. That's the simplest in terms of it's one barrier, one way, not a whole cul-de-sac. And with the increased volumes on the other two streets, it would be interesting to look at it in 2 months with everything else that we're doing and seeing the impact. I feel like that's an easier way that we can listen to some of the comments. And we've heard comments, and it's very difficult because they're very strong one way or the other, and there's not a louder voice than the other one, because everything that everyone says is important relative to where they live and who they are. And I feel like this is something that we can do to show that we are listening and we're trying to find something that's going to benefit the most, and you don't know exactly what that is, but as we're doing the alley and we're doing the stop signs and we are doing two things that are permanent, it feels to me like this is something that we can take away for 2 months. My motion would be to take it away permanently, but then I'm not saying this, we're not going to put it back on the table when we're looking at the whole thing in 2 months without a word for it.
The argument has merit, however, we are looking at a 2 month window here, and with the traffic patterns and the changes, I feel the changes that we did make are enough to see some change over there. And I'm very much inclined to leave it alone until we make substantive change up there and recommendations in September. And with that being said, we have received a lot of comment on Clinton Place. I get that. We've received a lot of comments to install a full barrier as well. It's not just one sided up there from what I feel that I've heard through the emails, through the residents, through the conversation. I don't think it's that one sided that they want it opened up. The residents south of the barricade seem to like less traffic on Clinton Place. And that's why I made my motion to leave it for the 2 months, not open it up until we can slow traffic down, until we can make a decision that the board approves that actually does something instead of just, you know, pulling the, you know, opening up the spigot to traffic again on Clinton Place. And I just think it's, I think it's premature, and I think it kind of goes against what we're trying to accomplish here. And again, it's a 2-month window, so I'm asking for 2 months, leave it up. That's my motion. Leave it and do something substantive in September with the toolbox.
All right, so just to reiterate, the motion on the table is to keep this in its temporary form and discuss it in September when the full context of the village-wide study is available, including the traffic calming toolbox.
Okay, wait, can I just get a question? If that does not pass, and so we know we're not going to leave it, then do we have to have another vote to figure out whether, so then we know it's going away, but then do we have to vote if it's going to be made permanent? Do you follow what I'm saying? So
I do not.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Never mind. We'll just see what happens if we get there.
Yeah, I mean, if the conversation is essentially tabled to this to September, and to be fair, the board in August could make a completely different determination, right?
Right.
But if it's tabled and the board kind of goes along with it, is aligned with that approach, the discussion in September would be no different than it is essentially now, wherein you would want to make it permanent, remove it completely, or make some other alteration to it.
Okay.
Can you read it one more time just to make sure?
Sure. So the motion on the table is to keep the partial cul-de-sac on Clinton Place just south of North Avenue in its temporary form with the plastic barricades, and to discuss it again in September when the village-wide study is completed and the traffic calming toolbox is available.
Basically the same thing what we're doing from Bonnie Brook.
Correct.
Okay.
That's the motion on the table.
Can I add another discussion point before we vote on
Yeah, I just keep reiterating the motion.
Thank you.
And there are some things that are changing between now and 2 months, which is the alley, we have the stop signs that we approved, which is the permanence of the Harlem adjustment. And I think in 2 months, by removing it, we will see some changes.
Yeah.
And we will either see, hear from a lot of complaints from people on Clinton, put it back, we saw a difference, oh my gosh, there's so much more traffic coming through here, please put it back. And I would love to hear that. Or, you know, the Bonnie brand, that alleyway, and those make it feel like there's less traffic. And yes, we're gonna have more of a toolbox later, absolutely, and I'm really excited to see and discuss that. I do feel like this is something that, given the fact that we have evidence of significantly increase on the next two streets, let's see what happens in Clinton with our other changes we're doing with the stop sign and Bonnie brand.
May I? Oh, sorry. To your point, Jim, the changes we're making strictly affect the east-west traffic. They do not affect the north-south traffic, per se. I'd like to leave it.
No, you're doing north-south in the alley.
Yeah.
So you are.
Also, just adding more stop signs in Clinton at Greenfield.
I'm sorry, it's difficult to hear everyone with everyone speaking at the same time. So my point is, we're making east-west changes. We're not changing the barrier at Bonnie Brae at the moment. That doesn't mean in 2 months we will not do something, fix it, change it. I think we need to apply the same thinking to this street. See how the east-west traffic is handled.
We're adding a stop sign at
we're handing all kinds of stuff.
At Lemoyne, though, and Clinton. So on this street, there is going to be a four-way stop sign, just a change. As is on.
Just that's for the
change.
I understand.
I like the way you think that. Because if the residents suddenly are going, oh my God, 300 people, you know, extra 300% increase from Williams starting to go down Clinton, then they may be back here saying, please put that back.
I don't want to get to that point.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and you know.
Well, it is going to be the first cut through. You know, they're going to grab the last one.
It doesn't matter if it's William or anybody else. It's like, all right.
That's crazy.
All right, so any other discussion amongst the commission? If not, we can go ahead and just again to reiterate one final time. The motion on the table is to keep the temporary barricade in the partial cul-de-sac at Clinton Place, just south of North Avenue, in its temporary form, to discuss it in September when the traffic calming toolbox is available. That's the motion on the table. Go ahead, Bill.
Commissioner
Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
No.
Commissioner White?
No.
Commissioner Carl?
No.
Commissioner Hosker?
Yes.
Motion denied.
All right, so the motion was to keep it in its temporary form. That did not pass. So the commission still needs to make a recommendation for what to do with this, which if it's not going to stay in its temporary form, does the commission want to make it permanent, change it in some way, or completely remove it?
Why don't you make the motion?
I would move to remove it completely. I would make a motion to remove it completely.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Sounds like the exact opposite of the previous motion.
Right.
Well, I think we to remove it. Remove it temporarily.
Well, remove it temporarily, and then see what happens, like, watch what happens with the other measures that we put in place, see what becomes available to us to put in place, and we know that we always have the option to put it back or make it permanent.
Right? And we wait for our toolbox. And we were, you know, maybe it doesn't go in there, and we put the speed tables all up and down Reading streets.
Right.
So,
was there a second for that?
I second.
Okay. Any other discussion? So right now the motion on the table is to remove the temporary barricades around place on Clinton Place. Go ahead, Bill.
Commissioner Chase?
No.
Commissioner Gillis?
To remove
the temporary,
yes.
To remove the barricades.
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Carl?
Yes.
Commissioner Hosker?
No.
Motion does not pass.
Okay.
Another motion didn't pass.
No, you need to leave.
We need four.
But then the last one.
And frankly, I'll paper this up for the board because this is non-binding anyway. So
okay.
This will go to the board and I'll try to.
So neither motion.
I'll explain what these motions were discussed and it kind of lands in the board's lap at that point.
So
it looks like nothing stays until the board.
Right. As far as your recommendation. Okay, so as far as the commission goes, that kind of completes what we have on our agenda. Certainly, if there's anything else you'd like to discuss or throw on there for discussion, that's your decision. If there's nothing else, we can open it up to public comment, but I certainly want to open it up to the commission first. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had the opportunity to go to the Greentown event at River Forest and Oak Park and Bellwood put on. And I went to this one seminar that I found was interesting. It had a lot to do with solar and that type of issues, but there was one from what they call the active transportation for local communities. And the woman from CMAP, which is Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, was talking about we are in a traffic crisis now. Traffic fatalities are up 41% over 2019 right now. And her comment was this would equate to a 777 airliner crashing every week in the United States. We'd be freaking out if we saw that. But anyways, what she was pointing out, there's a lot of other things too, but most fatalities occur in 30 mile per hour zone, which is our town. Meaning if a person or a bike is hit at 40 miles an hour, there's an 80% chance they're killed. And I just found that fascinating because with these people,
it's
an 80% chance you will die. And that's our town, it's a 30 mile per hour zone. So, and when these people get hit, most of them don't make it. I just wanted to pass that along. There's a lot of other good stuff in there too. You know, I sent that to you, federal funding for safe streets, and we now have a Cook County bike plan, which is the first one ever, which is fascinating. If you just Google bike plan, it'll show you everything. But I just wanted to pass that along. That's my only comment here.
That was very uplifting, Rick. Thank you.
When you think about people getting hit with these, they're whipping through here and they're not stopping. You know, I know my own son, many years ago, was on a scooter and he broke his arm because this car was whipping down and never stopped at Keystone and Augusta there. So, you know, he'd gotten hit, he'd probably need that too.
Yeah. Ask me about traffic going north on Bonnie Bray. I'd be happy to show you my house.
Yes, Pat had experienced a car inside her house.
A bus. Inside my house.
Yes, I think everyone saw that in the newspaper.
But. Yes, so.
So there's some speeding going on Bonnie Bray, huh?
Straight to the, well, yeah, they just.
Yeah. So are we through, are we on a discussion of Northeast Traffic Study improvements?
Yeah, we're through that.
We're through that. So I feel that we got some work done. I feel we gave the board something to chew on upstairs for a little bit. I'm excited for September and the toolbox. And again, now that we're coming to public comment with you guys, you know, we've heard a lot from you, both sides. Again, both sides. There's not a right at this point. There's one side and there's the other. So what we're trying to do is slow traffic, keep pedestrians, bicyclists safe, eliminate some traffic maybe down the road from the Northeast Quadrant. And that's why we're here, to work collectively, to hear what you guys have to say. And we've heard from a lot of people, and that's why we did this early, so we could take care of something that the board can chew on, that you guys can go to the board meeting and discuss it some more if you like. But I'm fine with listening, opening up public commentary now, hopefully for a little bit, and hear what you have to say, your comments, from what we did here tonight, or what you foresee, or how you foresee September. I mean, we can look forward a little bit now that these recommendations are going upstairs and possibly being passed. Possibly they make the decisions with our recommendations.
We have a
sign-up
sheet.
Yeah, so if there's no other comment from the commission, Bill will read off everybody's name who signed up for public comment. And certainly if there's somebody who didn't get the chance to sign up who still wants to speak, we can kind of look for hands afterwards as well. But at this point, we'll just call everybody up by name. Ask you to step up to the microphone, state your name and your address, and then feel free to make your comment.
Charles
Anderson left?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, thank you.
Dr. Zora?
Yes, that would be me. So I have a few things to say, but before I start speaking.
So I'm sorry, could we have the name and address?
Could you say your name and your address, please?
Giuseppina Lucifora, 1415 Clinton Place. Okay, so I actually would like to start by quoting what some of you said at one of the last meetings, okay? And I'm quoting now. Commissioner Oscar indicates that Commissioner Hoyt made a good point earlier, and that we need to make changes that benefit more of us than not. This is end of quote. And I thank both commissioners for this line, because they really show to us the meaning of democratic governance. And this brings me to a point. It seems to me that the results of the survey and the number of people who spoke at this meeting the last two or three times, the number of people who spoke at the board meetings the last two or three times, in all cases, and you can check the numbers, 70 to 75% of the people were against the barrier, and 20 to 25% were in favor.
The Clinton?
So, yes. All of them, you can look them up, okay? So my point is that, you know, it is correct. You have to find the right balance between one side and the other side. And because we are humans, that will never happen. So what is democracy doing? And you mentioned democracy. democracy, you know the etymology of the word, means the governance of the majority. So in this case, democracy means the will of the majority, and this is take down the barrier. So this was just a little thing that I wanted to say before I start. And again, I thank you for bringing us this democracy thing. Then I have to think about the motion that has been voted tonight. One is the motion for speed bumps on the alleys, okay? And because there was a problem in the alleys, there's too much traffic, therefore let's put the speed bumps. I would like to remind everyone here, there was no problem of traffic in the alleys before the barriers were installed.
Thank you.
There was
respectfully disagree with that statement.
No,
there's no evidence.
I've been sitting here for 17 years.
Yes, well, maybe there are not. Bring it up, please, because, you know, I really did not see it. I live on Quinter, I went north every day, and I never had it to pray when I crossed the alleys. Then the second motion, that actually was not a motion, something that one of you brought up, is the Forest Avenue, that there is
right turn only, I think.
Okay. So I would like again to point out the big difference that there is between Forest Avenue and Clinton. Okay. The difference is the following. Forest Avenue is between a two stops line, Thatcher and Lathrop. People coming either east or west can take the best stoplight and then go immediately into the village. Now, Clinton is between Lathrop and Harlem. And if I'm even coming north, I cannot even do that. So my entire point is that this parallel does not really apply. And now I would like to pass out. Can you please pass me out?
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm reading, but there are two tables there, and because I'm quoting several numbers, you know, I made these tables so that everyone can easily follow what I'm saying. And I hope that I'm being clear. I don't know if I will, but I hope so. So I read this village study, 3 pages, and there are 2 things that I do not understand. And I hope that you will make it clear to me. But first of all, I really would like to say that this whole issue started because of mitigation. Okay? So the first question, the first problem that I have has to do with mitigation. As a measure of traffic reduction that benefits the entire neighborhood and not just a couple of streets. From the number in the study, it seems to me that the traffic volumes on William has gone up between 67% and 300%, and on Monroe between 0 and 73%. Now, no one has measured whether there are still cars northbound or southbound at the junction of North Avenue with Bonnie Bray or with Clinton. In fact, the traffic on Clinton at that junction is significant, as many residents have reported here. So if we take these 3 facts together, number one, the traffic volumes during peak hour on William has probably doubled or tripled. On Monroe, it probably went up 40%. Number two, there is considerable remaining traffic on Clinton that has not been measured. Number three, there are still cars, though very few, on Bonnie Bray that have not also been counted. So if we take these facts together, do they not mean that the barriers have provided no traffic mitigation? It confirms that the barriers have just pushed the traffic, mostly on William and Monroe, and probably also Jackson, and there is considerable traffic on Clinton. Taken together, these facts indicate that there is a net result of zero mitigation. Is this correct? Or please tell me if I'm wrong. The second point that I have to make, but I need to drink some water. And if my tables are not clear, please. The second point that I want to make has to do with car volumes on William and Monroe and how safe they are now. I should point out that in tonight, the study that was not presented tonight, the village defines peak hour volume on William as an extremely low volume. Now, this extremely low volume was similar to Clinton's and much higher than what was measured on Bonnie Bray before the barriers were installed. Okay? And you can see that on the table that I gave you. Also, because the data are limited, I assume that the increase in traffic volume during peak hour measured in the village study is proportional to the overall increase in traffic volume during non-peak hours. According to the January study, and before the barriers, the car volumes were Clinton 486 cars per day, Bonnie Bray 626 cars per day, Monroe 1,192 cars a day, William was 1,700 cars a day. And after the barriers were installed, the traffic volume on William increases 67 to 300%, bringing it somewhere between 1,000 and 234 cars per day. And that is 2 to 5 times higher than what was on Clinton and Bonnie Bray before the barriers. And on Monroe, the volume has gone up between 0 and 73%, bringing it to about 2,061 cars per day, or 3 to 4 times higher than what it was on Clinton and Bonnie Bray before the barriers. I also would like to point out that according to IDOT, the safe upper limit volume for residential streets is 1,500, and that the volumes on William and Monroe are significantly higher and unsafe for part of the day. But now the village states, never mind, it's okay, Monroe and William can stand it, they will cope. Disregarding the driver's safety and the children's safety near the school on William. Is this also not a growing inconsistency in the village determination of what and what is not? Please let me know. Okay, so. Both the Commission and the Board of Trustees encouraged us to take the survey and express our opinion. We did. The majority of the respondents, 72%, were clearly against the barriers. So, what happens next? Will the survey be considered in some way in your final recommendation? Or will end up like the KLOA study at the bottom of the drawer because some people don't like that the barriers be taken down. So, I believe that, you know, I truly believe that there is this delay and meetings will come popping up and there will be delays and there will be surveys in the hope that we all get tired and we just give up. And, you know, I don't know whether I'm still on time, but the problem for me is that the barrier on Clinton is dangerous, and I live on Clinton. Many residents have said the same here to you. Last winter, there was ice on the street by the barrier, because the snow trucks have a hard time cleaning there, and it was hard to drive safely around it. Also, the alleys were iced as well, making it dangerous for drivers. I drive routinely through the barrier, and I'm forced to use the alleys, and I worry about this coming winter. So I'm here tonight not only to respectfully ask answers to the question that I just posed to you, but also to bring a petition to remove the barrier on Clinton. The village study described tonight confirms, and what I told you, actually it was not described, that it was on the agenda. So the village study confirms that the barriers have no effect on mitigation and just push the traffic to other unfortunate streets like William and Monroe, including the alleys. So what's the point?
You, just to confirm, you know we are removing the barriers, right?
No, you are not.
No, we're holding it down. We're keeping it up.
The one at Clinton?
Let him explain
why it wasn't a quorum.
It wasn't a quorum because you had four.
The Bonnie Bray and North barriers were voted to be left in their temporary place.
And then you
can I keep talking to you?
I don't know.
Please.
The Clinton and North ones, we voted twice on that. This group couldn't reach a consensus on what to do. So this will get papered up. Frankly, even if this group reached a consensus, so it goes to the board for a final determination. This is just a recommendation. This is still
so,
all going
so
to get.
It is perfectly useless that we comment now since you already made a decision or a recommendation. What's the point? I mean, the majority. Commissioner Oscar,
yes.
70% of the people, of the residents, want the barriers removed.
Can I say one thing? My objective is a traffic and safety perspective over there, and with this toolbox, we're going to make those changes.
Oh my God.
Nobody said the barricades are staying. Nobody said they're going.
If they change your vote to no, it'll be 4-1, and then they'll get rid of it. Just change your vote to no.
How
about that? What do you think?
Change
your vote to no, and they'll get rid of it. We'll be happy.
Why are they going to lock me into my house on Greenfield, but not on Clinton? They're all wrong. None of them belong there.
Change your vote.
And the vote, all of the votes, why are you wasting our money and our time? 70% of the people, plus they get rid of them all.
Now,
there's nothing more to talk about.
This is a majority, 70% of people. So I think there shouldn't even be a discussion.
I have a feeling in September, things will get worked out.
You
just made decisions permanent.
It seems to me that the delays, and this is something that I skipped, but I bring it up now. Let's consider all the delays in making a recommendation. First, the meeting in March, then the meeting in May, then in July, this one. We have been waiting, first, for the summary of all the comments he made to Mr. Kokranis, and they are still waiting. Then we're waiting for the survey results, which were out a couple of months ago. Now, we waited for the CIVET study, the one that was developed, and now, so in my view, proved that the village did nothing. And now, we have to wait for the village-wide survey, even though we all know that does not include this. I don't know, you're talking about democracy. When 75% of the people say something, that's democracy.
If I leave, we won't have
and,
a forum.
You know, I really, again, can I bring a petition in front of the chairman? Can I please bring a petition?
So, to be clear, I'm not the chairman. Rick is
the chair. I agree, whatever you are down in charge. And I have a question.
Let me explain the vote a little bit. Okay. So there's only five of us here. Three voted to remove it. Two voted to keep it.
That will be explained to the village board.
Right.
In its form. So we're all getting hung up on a motion to do this, motion to do that. None of the motions matter. The vote will still be conveyed to the village board, who makes the final decision.
No, but the village board in April, because there was so much problem a year ago with the commission and with the village board, and at September 21st meeting of last year and the October 10th village board meeting of last year, there was a lot of problems. So our president said clearly, because she doesn't want to have any more problems, that the board will accept the recommendation of the commission without any discussion. So let's be clear, if you make a recommendation, that is going to be it, because this is what the president, Mr. Adusi, told us. And I'm sure you're aware of that. Yeah, you're
okay, so,
Jeff, So
it's going to go to the board saying that with the five of us here, three of us voted to remove it. He's checking right now, and we probably won't have an answer. They're going to check with the attorney to see if this is enough. But either way, it's going to the board saying that three out of five voted to remove it.
But that's just one of the barriers. That's not addressing the other barriers. Like, I'm here in favor of the barrier to be removed at Greenfield and Harvard.
Me too.
I don't live on the Clinton Inn. I'm in favor of Joseph being devoted well, but that's not why I'm here. So you all are voting on separate barriers. And that barrier for Greenfield was voted to stay. And made permanent.
And do we know?
Okay, this is, it's not a discussion. If you guys have something to say, please say it. We're listening. We are finishing up in September. There's a pause on the barriers up north. There's a recommendation to the board for the barriers on the east side of town. That's where we're at right now. It's already done. So if you would like to speak.
Exactly, that was the whole point. Right?
Those recommendations were made to the board. The board will review them. Now, if you're finished, we listen to everything you said.
What's the point of listening if you don't do anything? In or out of their ear. Give me a break. And you are the one who spoke about democracy. Give me a break.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Jeff, can I ask that one question? What the KL always studied, what was the date that the data was taken from?
March 3rd.
Yeah, so it was basically March of 22. March 3rd is the data that March 3rd, March 17th, so they were taking it and kind of moving around, but it was March 20th.
Thank you.
That was the initial KLOA.
Correct. Kind of, yeah. Thank you.
King Byrne.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm the one. I'm not going to argue.
I didn't hear the lady. What are we doing?
She's going to read. Kate Byrne. She's making the comment for Kate Byrne.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so this is what Ms. Byrne wrote. I have a comment and cannot attend.
Sorry, where does she live?
1411 Clinton.
Yes, 1411 Clinton. So I have COVID and cannot attend the meeting tonight. I have requested that my neighbor, Dr. Lucy Fora, read the statement on my behalf. I have attended a majority of all meetings regarding the barricade issue as they impact on myself and my neighbors is significant. I've lived at 1411 Clinton Place for over 25 years and have never experienced any issues. I've not seen any evidence that any issue exists, despite the repeated requests. I'm still unclear on how the significant changes came about without any notice to a majority of the residents impacted. I've read the traffic study recently conducted, and from what I read, it seems traffic has moved from Clinton Place and Bonnie Bray to William and Monroe Street, and has increased the traffic above the safety limit. I wish that one of you, safety commissioner, would keep in mind that now the traffic is above the safety limit. Okay? No one said anything about it. The main point is there were no issues in the first place based upon the KLOA's traffic study that we paid for. It also seems the survey was conducted confirmed that the majority of residents do not want the barricades. To be clear, I objected to all barricades and requested that the same are immediately removed. So this was for that.
Thank you. And Kemper?
Yes, here I am again. Okay, so this was actually addressed to Mr. Kofanis. Hi Bill, I usually write to inform you I'll be signing up as a speaker at the upcoming traffic meeting, but alas, this week I'm out of town, it's on vacation, but I cannot attend. I would like to reiterate that from my perspective, effective at 1423 Bonnie Bray, that I oppose traffic barriers that redirect traffic in Northeast River Forest. My observations are that the traffic barriers force residents to drive greater distance. This increases pollution, decreases village walking safety, and makes it more difficult to access River Forest businesses. Additionally, permanent barriers are costly, and village surveys fail to identify public support. Again, I still don't understand why village officials promoted these changes in the first place and haven't implemented alternative measures to achieve the results. A great outcome for me would be to hear why each village official feels permanent barriers are the superior course of action instead of alternative options, speed bump, signage, stop sign, etc. Nearly all bought into the area with knowledge of the village original traffic flow. It bothers me that the redirecting, which threatened this, has been the preferred plan. Thank you.
Were you showing?
Yes. This is the last one.
And the address?
Okay, the subject is 1530 safety of children. We live on Bonnie Bray, 1530 Bonnie Bray, just south of the businesses on North Avenue, which are separated from our building by a two-lane brick-paved alley that runs west about four blocks. Along both sides of that alley are signs which advise drivers, slow children. I would like to walk on the sidewalk along the alley using my cane or walking sticks, but I wouldn't be risking my life because since the Jersey barriers have been installed on Bonnie Bray and three or four other north-south street, cars and vans, one after another, are speeding through at least at 25 miles per hour. Save the children and remove the barriers.
Adam Schweitzer.
I'm Ellen Schorster. I live at 1519 Clinton Place for 30 years, and I really right now am passing around a picture that was taken by Dr. Beth Heifman from River Forest Dental Group. I can't think of the address, but she's just west of Clinton Place on North Avenue. And she was pointing out that there is some good signage that could be used. You see what that is. And I also want to say for myself that there was never any evidence of heavy traffic on Clinton Place. The traffic survey did not show that there was heavy traffic there. And I know that that right now, the residents of Clinton Place and Bonnie Bray are adding to the traffic on William and Monroe because we cannot go down our own street, you know, which is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And as someone else pointed out, in order to get to our home, we have to go in circles, okay? It's just not right. Anyway, I'm glad that it does seem as if the barricade at the top of our street, top of Clinton Place, will be removed. I just wish that there was more certainty that it would be removed. Okay, thank you.
Jordan Blades.
Hi, I'm Georgia Kalaitis. I'm Dr. Kalaitis' wife. unfortunately couldn't be here tonight, so I empathize and was here. I appreciate everything that you have done. I know the stop signs that you have put back up and are going to implement are wonderful. The speed bumps in the alleys, like the other residents have said, unfortunately, you had to do that because of the barricades, and that's what caused the traffic in the alleys, but I appreciate what you've done. I know you don't think waiting 2 months is any big deal. You can wait, and then we'll figure out what we need to do. But those 2 months are agonizing for all the dental practices in the area. There's my husband's office, Dr. McMahon's office is in our same building. You have Beth Heiferman. You have the orthodontist. This is Dr. Novak. So I know this sounds stupid, but maybe you could revisit opening up Clinton and maybe just putting a no right turn from North Avenue. So it just, people can't make a right turn to cut down. Until you guys figure out what you want to do permanently, maybe that's something that you can revisit tonight. Open up Clinton, just no right turn into Clinton from North Avenue. People really don't, and then if even if you want to make no left turn, no right turn, so people from North Avenue cannot make a left, and people from North Avenue cannot make a right. Just to open up the street, because unfortunately, people to this day come in and back out right on North Avenue. And I know you don't see it. We do, we live it. And 2 more months having this is excruciating. So that's just a suggestion.
I'm sorry, you didn't give us your address?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're at 1224 Ashland, and we're on the school of Willard, and half of our life is on Woodley Street.
Thank you.
Her office is at the intersection of North and Clinton Way.
But we live on, so, yeah, just a suggestion. Thank you.
Mary at 1507 Clinton.
Thank you for giving me a couple minutes. I'm 1507 Clinton, my husband, 1507 Clinton, my husband, Chris, and my son, Paul, live there. He's handicapped. Across the street from us, right on the corner, I have a bird's eye view at that corner for 42 years. So I know what goes on, how many cars come back, we're home during the day. It's that very severely handicapped boy right across the street, and the bus comes to pick him up in the morning. And if you could see the danger with the cars not stopping, the cars going around the bus, the enforcement of the traffic not being done, it's, something's going to happen. My son sits in that window, and he was very disappointed that you took that traffic sign down, because he knows now that those cars are speeding even faster. You watch it every day. I do appreciate the businesses that are on the street. I understand the problems of people backing out back and forth. But traffic has increased dramatically on Clinton Place in the last 7 or 8 years. Dramatically. In the morning when I back out to go to church at St. Vincent's, sometimes there are so before the barrier, there were so many cars parked up I couldn't back out of my driveway. Because there was something that happened on North Avenue and everybody was coming down. And your wonderful patients that come and park on my street, because I'm on the east side of the street, which is 2-hour parking only, they block my driveway. I cannot back out of my driveway with 2 SUVs right up against my driveway. I can't see to back out or somebody's gonna hit me.
Well, is it better now?
No, it's been worse since the barrier.
That's what we're trying to figure out. Have the barriers improved it or
no, the barriers were great because there's not that much traffic anymore. I don't have to be worried about getting hit. But
people are parking in park area.
And I've asked them to stop. I've gone down to my husband's gone down and said, please do not park so that I had to get out one time and ask the lady, I had to get my car out.
I gotta get to them and call the police and come and take care of it.
Well, I gotta call the police on somebody parked.
Sure you. If you have can't to, get you out, to stop. You can't out and get food.
Anyway, okay. Well, all right. So I'm in the dissent here. Okay, I want the barrier. I want the safety. I'm willing to give up the inconvenience of having to go around because I want the safety. People are driving too fast. Somebody's gonna get hurt. I don't want it to be me. I don't want it to be any of the little kids. Maybe the suggestion would be to make this parking on the street. Some Tuesday you can only park on one side and then Wednesday on the other side, but we have the cars in front of our house all the time. Except when you guys on Wednesdays when they're not there. And I appreciate all of the improvements they've made in bringing people into our village. I do love the building now. It's lovely. But again, can't get out of my driveway sometimes. And secondly, it's a safety issue. It's not a convenience issue. If I have to drive around, I have to drive around. I go to St. Vincent's, I see those cars turning up in North Avenue in the morning when the traffic is bad coming down that street, speeding past Fresh Time because they're late. I see those cars turning and going fast to get to Harlem. Now that it's opened up again, he's a change again, right? Now they're letting people go right. Okay, so now they're speeding one way. It's like an L.
They always have.
Right, we always were letting
them. You were always allowed to go right.
Now they've just
been in the village.
So I understand the inconvenience. I'm worried about the safety.
You don't worry about the safety for other people. Okay,
hold on. Everybody, this is public comment. Everybody's allowed to make your public comment. Let's keep the commentary off to the side.
It really is. I understand that you don't want the barrier. I don't particularly like having the barrier, too, but if it helps improve safety, then I'm willing to put up with the inconvenience for the safety of my family, and especially for the little boy across the street when somebody's going to plow into his bus, excuse me.
Stephanie
P. Everybody, Stephanie Peterson, 1401 Clinton Place. I'm at the intersection of Clinton and Greenfield, right on that corner. So I face south on Greenfield, where my house faces south, and so the west side of my house is Clinton. I'd like the barriers removed. I always have. I don't think they belong there. I don't think they got there properly, and they ought to be removed for that reason. And because, as many people have said, as I have said so many times at so many meetings that you guys all seem to be ignoring, in addition to all of the evidence that you pay for and have us spend our time filling out forms that you're just going to disregard, I really, like, I'm so perplexed as to why we're even here. There was no problem. These have created problems, and now we're trying to work around to solve the problems you've created. I don't understand. I've received no answer. We've all asked this question so many times, we've gotten no good answer. Okay, so that said, again, Greenfield, tonight I listened to you guys do things that also had me scratching my head. So for the east and westbound traffic, you went ahead and decided you're gonna permanently install some blockade. Why? You've got a toolbox coming, as you noted earlier, okay, or later, I should say. And Mr. Carl pointed out the thing that I have said from the very beginning, and maybe you have as well, sir. Why are we building barricades around our village when we have other things we can do and see if they work first? They're less expensive, and they might do the job, and you won't have to listen to us about this again. What is the reason? You won't start with stop signs, roundabouts. Okay, maybe last case scenario before boarding us in and out of our houses would be speed bumps or whatever these other things are you're talking about. I don't know what they are. You have so many choices. Why this? What is the answer? Will someone please tell me why the barricades? What is the problem you're trying to solve, for example, on Greenfield? Now you're allowing us to turn. If we're heading east on Greenfield, we can head south on Harlem. And if we're heading south on Harlem, we can head west on Greenfield. But now I can't turn, if I'm heading north, which I often am, I can't get into my house. I've got to drive in circles. And if I want to head north, I also have to drive in circles. You block me at Clinton, the street that I normally would have gotten out of. You block me at Bonnie. What are you, what? Why? What can each one of you please give me the answer to that question? What problem, what is the problem at Greenfield and Harlem, and how have you solved it? Can we start with you, Commissioner Hoyt?
This is not a discussion.
These are public comments. Okay, I'm glad you hear that, because last meeting, I'm not sure whether or not you were here, there was a gentleman who stood up and he started asking questions after talking very friendly with the members of the commission, and they were giving him answers. And every time the people who oppose the barriers ask questions, we get no answers. You look down at your computer, you do something else, you look at me and then you don't say anything and you just wait for me to walk away. I mean, you're our neighbors, right? So, like, why are you doing this to us?
I think the difference between what you're thinking about is we were verifying facts to whomever that gentleman was that you're talking. What you're looking to get into is a discussion, which isn't now.
That's not what happened. But nonetheless, I see now you're refusing to answer those questions. So would someone tell me where we can get those answers, how, and from whom? Would you at least do that for us?
I think we've made this very clear that we're a commission that recommends to the board who makes the decision. So if you want the decision makers, you speak with the board. We take data input, we formulate ideas, we use outside help consultants, we have the village engineers, we have the traffic, we have the people that work for the village at our disposal. We take all that, we compile it, we make an educated recommendation that goes upstairs. And they make the decision to implement, to remove, to do whatever they feel is productive for the village.
Has there ever been a problem identified at Greenfield and Harlem?
That what was brought to us a year ago now maybe was that there was this enormous problem with cop through traffic, that everybody was cutting off North Avenue and then speeding down Greenfield, speeding down Lomoka in order to avoid that intersection. So that was how the problem was presented to this commission. And you know, so that was what we were sort of trying to solve for.
Okay, but again, you guys should at least have a list of here is Greenfield and Harlem. The problems are these. Number one.
Okay, so are you finished?
I'm not, because I still haven't gotten the answer. From whom can I get that information? What was the problem identified at Greenfield and Harlem that this commission has collected all of this data and has had neighbors fill out surveys? What was the problem you identified?
Just what he said, cut through traffic.
And Greenfield and Harlem cut through traffic.
Correct.
What does that mean exactly?
It means traffic cutting through Greenfield and Harlem.
So where
to
would
get
they go? Would they go and make a left onto North Avenue?
It's
not real
finished. Our minutes are posted publicly, right?
And you can look back. Nowhere does it say so, the problem is this.
But you can look back at the meetings from the summer of 2022, and you can look at the discussion of traffic study. Northeast section of River Forest, increased resident culture and volume and vehicle speeds in the northeast corner of town, discussed by the Village Study, and there's a lot of information in here that describes this. It's not, like, we didn't make this up because we love putting in barricades. You know,
there's nothing in there. There's nothing specifically in there that identifies a problem at this intersection. And also the CLORA report, what you did do, as Commissioner Oska said, you took our money and you used it to pay some people to collect some data from some objective analysis. You received it, you didn't like it, so you ignored it, a lot like you've done with the survey. So it is the fact that you cannot articulate very clearly and precisely any actual problem with Clinton and Harlem, or really any of these intersections, should tell you something. It tells us something, but it should tell each one of you something. Why are you wasting everyone's time, including your own? There was no problem. Now we're all spinning around, getting angry with each other, wasting our time for nothing. As Dr. Nusafora pointed out, you've netted zero, other than all of this wasted time and energy. So, the end for now.
Gregory and Kelly.
Hi, I'm Greg Epkarian. This is my wife, Kelly Epkarian. We have two houses, 1430 Lathrop and 1226 William. So,
it shows that actually now it's more dangerous than it was.
First, I thought about my main problem is I'm against the barriers, but one thing I brought this up in the March meeting, and I said, you're forgetting about the Fenwick kids, which I don't have a kid that goes to Fenwick, but I kept telling you guys, as a city, you sold them that property for $7 million or whatever, and they're going to make it a huge athletic place. They're going to use it nonstop. And when we did it, or you guys sold it to them, and we did this meeting there.
We did not sell it.
Well, the city did.
No, that is not correct. Private sale that they had no involvement.
But somebody sold it. So the city should have bought it themselves and not the Fenwick do it, but that's a different story. But
it was $8 million. We didn't have $8 million.
Again, we're ready for it.
But
when it was sold to them, I told you guys there's going to be a ton of kids parking. Right? You guys, they park on both sides. I have pictures. I can show you guys on my phone. You'll see. They park on both sides of the street on William. It is from Division all the way down past Berkshire, about almost to Greenfield, is full of cars. All kids that are going to soccer, baseball, football, because they have, now they have control of all that. They do all the sports all at once. And so they're there doing this, and these kids are coming out, and I was telling John beforehand, you know, they're high school kids too. They're really not the best drivers in the world. They get in their cars and they speed. I'm telling you, there's been already incidences. I've seen kids be missed by quarter millimeters of just getting run over. Okay, but nobody. And I said, hey, you need to put a stop sign on Berkshire and William. Nobody wanted to listen. That's fine, whatever. But all this traffic now we have a traffic report that comes out and says 300% now more going down William. There are more kids on my street right now than there are at any other street besides a school street. I promise you this, because of how much Fenwick has going on there. And it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop in the summer because they have summer camps. It's not going to stop in the fall because they have fall sports. It's not going to stop. Well, it may stop a little bit in the winter, but I guarantee you in a year or two, they'll figure out how to use it in the winter. They did not spend all that money not to use it all year round. Trust me. I mean, you are doing short-sighted things. And so you're like, oh, who cares about the 300% on William? That traffic also that you let, now that you got rid of Clinton and the thing about Clinton and Bonnie Bray, and I'm sorry that you didn't like your traffic, right? It died. It couldn't go all the way through. Well, now what you do with the cut-through people, when they had to cut through, a lot of them said no because I can only go a block and do this, and sometimes it's a pain in the ass because I get stuck behind somebody who doesn't want to make that turn and go straight, and I have to wait like seven cars. So a lot of people didn't make that decision. But now they just zoom straight on down to Division because it gives them four blocks of speed. They don't care. And again, there's the kids getting out of the car with all their sports equipment, not even being able to see the cars because they have... Because unlike when we were kids, these kids have to have their own equipment. They can't share helmets, they can't share bats. I don't know the reasoning. I mean, I know the reasoning, but I think it's stupid. But, you know, they all have their, they all now are like robots, right? With all their stuff, they can't see the cars coming. So now you're 300% traffic during peak hours. When the kids are there during peak hours, you're like, oh, don't worry about it. It's safe for these people. It's not, I'm not even worried about me. As you can see, not one word about this was about me. I don't care about me. I'm telling you, you're going to get a kid killed. And I want it on record. If a kid gets killed, you heard it here. And you had a chance to stop it, and you didn't. And that family, I will tell them to listen to this tape. I will. I will have them sue them. No, I'm just telling you, you have to be careful with these kids. You're all worried about all my kids' safety. But then you let these cars 300% go through. And none of you, when I said, I even said it in March, listen to the tape. I said, please put a stop sign here. Because also people take their dogs and go to that park. Yeah. That park is, everybody goes there. Or old people, young people, doesn't matter. They walk across that street and there's no stop sign. Anyway, they just go. So there's no stop sign. And I said, please, please, please. I even, again, listen to the tape. I said, put a stop sign there. And you didn't. And now you got a new study that came out with the traffic. And you're like, oh, it's okay. And as she said, you didn't get rid of the traffic. You didn't. You just put it over one street. You didn't disperse it. You didn't make it harder for them to come in the city. You actually made it easier for them to get through. They can go through now 3-4 streets. And it's very easy. At Clinton, they either had to go to Lemoyne or they had to go to Greenfield. And then they had to stop because they couldn't go through now Fenwick Field. I'm telling you, you have to do something about the traffic going through William and right there by the Fenwick kids. And as you said too, about the buses and turning there. If the buses, even if it's accessible for them to do, we all know the bus drivers aren't going to do the hard way. They're going to do the easy way. And the easy way is they're going to take Division down William, down Greenfield. And by doing that, you're going to cause, there's already cars on both sides, not enough friggin' traffic for a bus to come through and people. You have now made it impossible. So then get rid of parking on the street. Do something. You cannot keep this the way it is, or get rid of the barriers so people can have free-flowing traffic like before. I've been in this house for 2 years, and Fenwick has always used that. And I've always seen kids park, and it wasn't that bad. But I'm telling you, this 300% is really 300% zooming down. And the kids, and I'm telling you, it's the kids. I'm not worried about my safety. I look, and maybe kids park in front of my driveway all the time, all four. And I live across the street from Kathy, and they block her off too. And you have to find a way out of your driveway. It is what it is. It sucks. I get it. Okay? But I'm telling you, the kids are going to get killed. One of them is going to get hit. You had that study. 30 miles an hour or more, the kid gets hit, he's dead. Right? They're going faster than 30, and those kids are walking across the street. They're going to be a dead kid. It's going to be sooner than later. Here's my wife. She's a statistician. So
wait, I'm going to ask one question.
Yes.
Where do you live again? You're at?
The house I have is 1226 William, right across the street from Kathy. Literally right across the street.
Okay.
So.
I mean, one of the things you can also do, it's probably more for people in Greenfield, is come back here with a petition for resident parking only on.
I
which would eliminate those cars parking there.
To be clear, before you do, let me just say one thing. In the last few weeks, the village has reached out to Fenwick a few times because at one of the last meetings, the commission requested that we send a letter that didn't really spur much. So I believe President Nadeusi had reached out to someone. Long story short, we've been in contact with them about putting up signage around campus, similar to what Concordia does when they have an event, to direct event parking onto their campus. So that is a conversation that is
there is no parking on
their campus.
I just so you know, have you been around there lately? There is not enough parking for that. If they have more than one event going, you can't. I do recreational soccer coaching, and they played on that field. And for 10-year-old kids with 12 kids on each team, that parking lot was full. That's 24 kids from River Forest, not including travel parents coming in with their people. There is no parking but the street. And I get, you keep, don't, it'll, You can say, come in with petition.
Can I ask you a question?
But I'm not
Are you saying that if we removed the barriers, in your opinion, that you wouldn't have any problems on
it? I think the traffic, the 300% that the traffic has gone up during peak hours when the kids are there, it will dissipate because you have put all the traffic.
I understand. So you're saying if you have no barriers, William will be fine regardless of traffic?
It was fine before. It was fine before when they had kids always playing.
If the barriers are removed, which we recommended.
All the barriers.
I'm talking about all the barriers. Clinton, all the barriers.
So because you have to get rid of all the
Guys, you conducted a traffic study, correct?
Correct.
I work in data. My job is to use data to make smart, informed decisions. I let data tell me what to do and how to make the right decisions because that's critical when all you can do, I work in survey research. The worst thing you can do is survey yourself because you don't look like anyone else in this room. Your behaviors are not like anyone else in this room. So you've got to use scaled data. So I applaud you guys for having data. Why you have chosen to allow a resident to summarize your data and not present this before you've been speaking about decisions you're going to make as a commission is kind of jaw-dropping to me because nothing in my business, and I work in the advertising business, nothing in my business happens without using data as the North Star to help us make informed, smart business decisions. When you look at these traffic volumes, Ms. Hoyt, it is clear as day. 780 volume on William compared to 486 volume on Clinton before barriers. Before barriers, okay? Do the math. That's almost 2x already on William Street, right? 486 versus 780, correct? So what are we solving? And then when we put the barriers in, you went from 780 to up to 2,340. Do you understand when he's talking about kids? Forget about the darn parking. I have to tell you, I sit out on my front porch and I am that screaming at car person, yelling, slow the hell down, please, you're gonna kill someone. And it's not about myself, it is about all these kids and everyone who loves that park in this community. It is the biggest park in our community. The Fenwick has not cut off access to any of us too. There's a great running path, there's a great dog place. I watch people walk their dogs across and I'm mortified going, a dog's gonna get killed, a kid's gonna get killed, a human's gonna get killed, an adult, it doesn't matter. I watch it every day. And when you guys did this, I watched more kids at higher risk on a daily basis because traffic, the study says it, doubled, not doubled, 300% people, 300%. Start with data. Make your decisions data informed. When you say you're solving a problem, you've got 1,192 cars on Monroe in volume before barriers. On William, 780, but somehow Bonnie Bray and Clinton were the problems where you put the barriers, and all you did, to her point, was move the traffic. You didn't mitigate anything, because now the traffic on Monroe is at 2,061, up from, which is 2x, up from 1,192, and the 780 is now at 2,340, which is probably about 3.5x. What have we solved, folks? Use your own data, please. You're gonna kill someone. Moving traffic around willy-nilly and then saying, well, we shouldn't move it, and no offense, John, but 2 months, hang on, let me finish my point, please. 2 months, I watched, these kids are already in summer getting ready for fall season, football season, track season, soccer season. They're already filling our streets with cars to go practice. So 2 months could mean the difference between a kid being killed and not. It may seem like nothing to you, like, oh, it's just 2 months, but these kids are already returning back to school activities, full-blown school activities, and their practices have started. And that traffic is not slowing down, And those kids are coming at higher volumes down that street. They're not who I'm worried about driving down the street, though I do agree with them, they go too fast. I'm worried about all the other traffic we funneled down that street when these kids are getting out of their car, not paying attention with their equipment, walking across the street, talking on their cell phones, not paying a lick of attention. Not a lick. I watch my own daughter. She's 17. She's oblivious to the world that that damn cell phone needs to be out of her hand when she walks down the street because she just doesn't pay attention. I'm telling you, you guys, use data. You have it. You ran and paid for the study. Let that inform your decisions. And don't go making willy-nilly decisions based on data that tells you opposite. I mean, your point, Rick, was that about the incident rate has increased, 41%, whatever the stat, and 80% mortality rate. The safe upper limit, according to the KLOA report, is 1,500. You now have two streets that you have moved traffic to a KLOA death street. That's what you've done. I don't think you intended to do that, just to be clear, but the data here said that's exactly what you have achieved.
I agree.
This is why we're saying remove the damn barriers now, because you haven't solved any problem. It didn't do anything. It caused more problems.
And you've endangered the kids.
And well, you, more importantly,
here's what the next steps should be. We know William is a severe problem now, okay? We want to open up Clinton, so you get some more traffic
on
Clinton.
Also, in the study, I would like you guys to look at Lathrop too. No, because you're funneling a lot more traffic down to Lathrop because people will turn on that turn light. And I'm telling you, you already had a lot of traffic funneled onto it. Just I would be interested when you get your data for that box, what it says about how much more traffic is hit Lathrop.
But when we get our toolbox.
Yeah.
And we can figure out.
This is just going to be a toolbox.
William would be one of the big ones. How many speed tables do we do on William? Because you guys need it. Because it is. It's a straight shot down.
Table?
That's one.
What?
Speed
it's a speed bump.
It's
Oak Park Alley.
Yeah,
it's like.
It's one that have an Oak Park.
Yeah.
Can we
have
a short
Park.
Break?
No, you want to know what a speed table is. There's Oak Park.
How many?
They can plow over. So if it goes up, it might be 30 feet long and it drops down. Okay. So we agree with you there. Just, you know, one of the things, you know, someone had asked in one of our emails about traffic going up. Okay, traffic's horrible right now in North Avenue. And I got a thing, I don't know if you can pull this chart up or not, but the 40,000 cars a day are going on North Avenue up to Nashua.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. Then 11,000 are going down Thatcher every single day.
To Chicago.
Then, well, that's their new shortcut. 30,000 are going on North Avenue to Harlem. I mean, this is a lot of cars.
Oh.
And these are current counts from the Illinois Department of Transportation.
I get that.
Okay, and then those 30,000 cars, when they're seeing that red light, we know it. A whole handful of them are turning right into River Course.
But when you had Bonnie Bray and Clinton, as I said, it kind of ended, not going to another main artery. When you have William, and you let William open from North Avenue, you're letting it go to another main artery, because Division is another main artery through this thing. And so then you're promoting, and people are smart. You know, after you close the street and they can't go down it once or twice, they adapt. I mean, sometimes most of them do, not everybody. But you know, so now they've all adapted to that. The problem is, I mean, you can put your speed humps in there, but I'm telling you, people don't care about that stuff. They don't.
They don't.
Actually, you're not supposed to slow down on speed bumps. It's actually worse for your shots. It really is. But hey.
In the interest of expediting this, your point is very well taken, and I think we do look at data and we make decisions. This 2 months obviously is an issue, and you know what's going to happen is the board is going to listen, they're going to see the notes, they're going to see the minutes from this meeting, and they're meeting obviously before September. And they have initially the three yeas to two nays on the removal of Clint.
Can't you change?
So they no. So you know that will be upstairs. That issue will be upstairs. And then, you know, as funny as it may sound, this toolbox, when it comes, tables, so forth and so on, our objectives, you know, I don't want to play whack-a-mole here. You know, and the way you make it sound is that we're playing whack-a-mole, and I'm trying to, I got it, thank you, I appreciate it. So, you know, whack-a-mole, we're not doing whack-a-mole, this is called the Northeast Quadrant, and there's more than Bonnie Bray, there's more than Clinton Place, there's more than Monroe and William. So we need to figure out how to take care of the Northeast Quadrant. That's what we're going to do. You know, and again, thank you for your input. It's been very well received and appreciated, as everyone who's gotten up and spoken. Thank you. But let's get the rest of you up in front of us so we can get out of here.
All right, Ms. Hoyt, did you have a question?
No, respectfully, I'll ask the question and then I'll comment over.
John, I would just end with every meeting should start with reviewing data, because no decision should be made without an analyzing studies and information you're gathering to make better informed decisions. Otherwise, what you're doing, no offense, is totally whack-a-mole. It really is, because you're ignoring what this data is telling you. It's not harder to translate than what's laying out on this page. It really isn't. You're solving a problem that doesn't need to be solved, because the traffic volumes on Bonnie Bray and Clinton were never nearly the issue as Monroe and William. So all you've done is made the problem on Monroe and William incredibly dangerous. I mean, the 1500, you guys need to really think about that, because these levels are 2061 and 2003 and 40. They're not even close to 1500. That's not even close. That's not even like a margin of error. In statistics, that would tell you, oh my God, we have a problem. So that's what I'm ending with, because I'm very worried you guys aren't starting your meeting with your own data before discussing decisions of removal and additions and stop signs and this and that. Like, use data, please. I implore you. This is the only way you should be making decisions.
Thank you for this beautiful page. I can't even.
Bonnie Burger.
Bonnie Love.
Is it older?
Hello, everyone. Thank you again for giving us the opportunity to speak. I know this is always long and drawn out, but listening to a few things tonight, I've kind of got new information that I did not know before, that I was trying to get answers to as well, about how this started. And it started with cut-through traffic.
I'm sorry, where do you live?
I live at 1406 North Harlem at the townhomes. And let me just also add with that I speak for a majority of everyone that lives in those townhomes, but particularly unit A, B, C, D, and E for 1406. None of us are in favor of the barriers. We want them removed. The cut-through traffic that was discussed a year ago to the committee, and that's how we kind of came to this, is what I'm now finding out tonight. But for me, as other residents have stated, we didn't really solve cut through, because cut through just means as if that was only one way to kind of get through River Forest to Harlem. And just because we cut at Clinton and Bonnie Bray doesn't mean people now didn't start turning at Johnny's, Fresh Time, the blocks that are now still open. So they're still cutting through. That's not resolving what we sort of, I guess, started out to resolve here. Democracy was a word, John, that you used, so I'm sorry I have to bring that up, because I do agree with Josephine that the meetings I've attended, the reviews of the information that I've read online from the meetings that I have not been here, it does seem that every meeting, the majority is against the barrier. So if we are going to use the word democracy, we of course have to then tap back into the data and now point out that the numbers are 267 responses on the survey were no, 143 were yes in favor, no being 267. The majority of that in a democracy would mean the barrier should be removed. But if that's not the basis of the decision you are going to make, that is understandable, but it has to be notated because you brought up the word democracy. I particularly want to speak on Greenfield because that's the corner which is closest to me that I live, and the inconvenience of going home is often said of, oh, to the residents, that's just inconvenience. Your argument is of inconvenience. However, when we're addressing other concerns that have no data to support them, they're an argument of convenience. So I feel like there is no separation there. We also used to have at Greenfield the no left turn when you are going westbound, 7 to 9 a.m. and 4 to 6. I don't understand that we were trying to mitigate cut-through traffic, but we're allowing people to turn going southbound onto Harlem from Greenfield. How does that eliminate cut-through traffic? Because traffic going northbound and then, I guess, trying to get to North Avenue to make that westbound turn could never turn 7 to 9 and 4 to 6, which would be considered peak hours. I lived there, I never complained during those hours because I totally understood why those mitigations were in place to eliminate people cutting through. However, I don't understand why, like tonight at 9:47 p.m. when there is hardly no traffic on Harlem, I have to go around in a circle to get home versus being able to just take Lake Harlem, Harlem to Greenfield and make a left turn because I live literally on the alley where we can park, you know, the townhouses park in the alley on Greenfield. The slow traffic to trickle, John, was another statement that you made tonight, that was kind of like the goal. I don't really know how we triple traffic for a community that has 11,000 residents. As Frederick pointed out, we have 30,000 people traveling on North Avenue every day. So I don't know realistically how any community in the state of Illinois with the growing population trickles down their traffic. I think speed bumps, the things that you're going to try to use in a toolkit, are other mitigations and things to look at to try to address what seems to be the ultimate complaint, which is traffic speed versus anything else. We say that a group of residents came and complained to you about a year ago. However, we also got stated tonight that the alley complaint has been there for years, but nothing was done about it. So I guess I'm just trying to weigh out how the alley complaint was disregarded. However, the complaint that residents brought a year ago about cut through traffic, kind of like that pushed up and got accelerated to being more important than something that you yourself stated have been already being complained about to the committee for years now as far as the alley traffic. So that just kind of makes me as a resident feel questionable to kind of like just how fair the decision making is going to be in that, because that doesn't add up. To remove Clinton North, as you said, Frederick, tonight, was your opinion based off of the people don't want it. That's the same with all of the people in the townhomes on Greenfield. We don't want that barrier at Greenfield either, but yet Greenfield was voted for it to become permanent. So I feel like we can't really pick and choose which corner if we're now basing it off of the numbers. Well, the survey again goes back to what is the only thing at this point, like you say, you get up here and you speak, but the thing that you all can really know was untainted in that sense was the survey, because the villages who received those surveys. So those numbers, I would assume, are not made up. If they were going to be made up, they would be made up in favor of the barriers and not against it. So I would just say that if we're going to go with what residents are saying, it's been continuous now that the residents are asking for those barriers to be removed. And if Greenfield is going to remain in place, I just, again, I understand you're not answering questions today, Ms. Hoyt, but it would be polite to the residents that are on that corner to explain how being able to still turn southbound going right onto Harlem helps cut through traffic. Because that does nothing to the residents that live on that corner or in those townhomes, but make it difficult for us to now get home. And we now actually contribute to the problem on William, because we have to come from William now. We never drove down William unless we happen to just be coming from this end of River Forest. So I think it's kind of like we all now just move traffic to other streets, but we did not actually stop the cut-through traffic, because cut-through traffic still happens. And as the gentleman, the family said, anybody that has any common sense, A, if it's a barrier that you can go through and you're trying to get across, you're going to go through, which is why now at Lemoyne, you still see people crossing the street going directly from River Forest to Oak Park. So unless it's going to be a camera or a police officer stationed at that corner, that's not going to stop no matter what you put at that corner. So it's kind of like, I just feel like, honestly, the committee took neighborhood opinions of residents and action them prematurely without really looking at the data. The study that we did not recommend those barriers, but yet we still kept them in place. And I just feel like now, instead of us having to convince you to remove them based off of the data, based off of the huge overwhelming response of us asking for them to be removed, it should be more of a convince as to why they are still there, not as to why they need to be removed. In closing, the only thing I do ask is, because you all are stating your recommendation is going to the board, two questions in that sense, and that is the vote that you're providing them, Jeff, and I'm sorry, I don't know how you're supposed to be addressed, so I apologize. I'm just addressing you as Jeff. will you notate that the residents, the number of the residents that are here at the meeting are against that, even though the committee voted in favor of keeping the barriers permanent?
No,
will that kind of information go to the board to notate?
They'll have access to the minutes and the audio of this meeting, so I know for a fact that some of them listen to all of this and pore over the minutes. That's not necessarily something, memos would get really long if we started to hammer out every little detail. So no, that's not something that would be part of the write-up, but the minutes and the audio for this meeting are certainly available for them to review.
Okay, and then
just
for them to be permanent. We just voted for them to
green.
Stay temporarily.
But the
Greenfield is permanent.
No, but that's okay. And then in response, because I wasn't for sure if Josephine's question got answered as far as her petition. If she was to bring up another petition, because she already had one in the neighborhood that she had an overwhelming signature response on, but if she was to do another petition, that petition would need to go to the board on August 28th versus coming back here.
If you have another petition that you would like to incorporate into the discussion, I would suggest that I think Bill's email is on the website, so if you submit that to us, did you say you already did?
Well, actually, let me,
That was my last question. Thank you all.
If you have additional information that you would like to be considered, we can certainly,
I think I said that I wanted to bring a petition to remove the barrier on Greenfield because it's dangerous. I said that last year when with the ice and the snow, it was really dangerous to drive through that. And then, I would like to remind this commission that a year ago, a gentleman brought a petition. He did not have any paperwork. He did not have any petition written down. He did not have any support, written support. And he had, I believe, four people here with him to support this petition. Now, I am here. I have a 75% of support through the survey, and the people responded here. I have the KLOA report, which warns against the barrier on Clinton and the other, and I ask this commission that my petition here, without any paperwork, be treated exactly like the petition last year that I believe was Mr. Amala's brought. So he brought the petition, I repeat, without paperwork, without signature, without scientific support, and with four or five people supporting it. I have the KLOA report. I have 75% of the residents' support. I have today's results that show that there is actually a danger with that petition on. So, I'm really asking that I be treated exactly the same way that the other residents was treated, because I truly believe that all residents in River Forest are equal and should be treated equally. Although, to be honest, I'm having some doubts about that lately, because the way these things are going, and also based on what other speakers said tonight, I have the feeling that not all residents in this village are created equal. So my petition is just like the other one. It's an oral petition. So, I don't know. You know, I wrote actually to the commission a couple of months ago. Maybe you remember, because I asked that you all of you got my letter, and I asked, what should I do to bring a petition? I had no answer. So, what am I supposed to do? So, I do what was done a year ago. Actually, it was not a year ago. It was July. Yes, it was July of last year. In this commission. So, what am I supposed to do now? Please direct me and advise, because I want the barrier down, because there is no scientific data showing that is necessary.
Understood. If you have information you'd like to share with staff, we can certainly discuss it as a staff at this point.
What do you mean you're going to discuss it with the staff?
Actually? You have it. We just gave it to you.
Could we?
That has been part of the discussion.
You didn't present the study to us. We had to present it to you. So now we have to present it to you. I gave it to you. I had that in the pen copy. She's talking about something different. No, she's talking about this. Oh, whatever. You also have a copy. Let me repeat again. Hold on. We don't need to respect Dr. Dusenfor. We have other people that haven't been able to make public comment yet. So we'd like to get through everybody. Everybody's making comments. We're not going anywhere right now.
We're just trying to get through everybody to make public comment.
I want to know that. Thank you.
Peter Connells?
Someone just left. A gentleman just left. Wait a minute.
Kathy Klein?
Okay. If there's anybody on the Zoom call that would like to make public comment, now is your opportunity. Abby Schmeling or Gary Northrup? Okay, so that's the end of public comment. So, Dr. Nusapora,
yes.
The information that you have provided here today, this is what you're looking to have incorporated into the discussion?
No. Okay, so what I want with my petition is first...
To be clear, what are you referring to as your petition?
My petition to remove the barrier one on Clinton, because it is dangerous.
How would you like me to share an oral petition?
Well, the way it was done last year. I don't know why it was done last year, but I knew there was no...
No, it's a petition you did before, correct?
No.
No, she's just saying she's talking
about... I'm saying that last year, someone came here, and I would not name names.
It was a gentleman, wasn't
that's
it?
That's
a
survey.
Gentleman?
She didn't speak. I'm sorry.
Wasn't it
it's
a gentleman?
Survey. Yes,
it's
a survey. You guys
one at a time.
She's without anything. Why this happened in the first place.
And you're referring to...
Are you talking about
the public survey that was completed?
Yeah.
No.
So she's not talking about
that. She's talking about a year ago when the people came and said the through traffic. That's what she's
I understand
to.
Where she's referring to how this initially all got discussed and started. Hold on. She's talking about she has a separate oral petition that she wants to share. So please let her finish.
All right. So let's start with that, okay? So last year... There was a gentleman who came here in front of you.
Understood. We don't need to start from scratch. So we've talked about this. We know how we got to where we are. And we've talked about this ad nauseum. So if you have additional information you would like staff to share with either this group or the village board, more than happy to take that information from you.
She's made a
petition. I just made it.
But then it was part of this discussion that the board and the commission have been having for the better part of the last year.
I'm formally now making a petition to remove the barrier on Clinton.
Okay, then I would offer to the commission, do you want to change your motion on these barriers?
Because it is dangerous.
Understood. Okay, understood. So you made your petition to the commission. At this point, having heard her comment, do you wish to make any changes to your recommendations at this time?
No.
Okay. So there's nothing else. There's no discussion. There doesn't appear to be any support for changing the motions that have already been made this evening.
No. I'm not making a petition to change your vote or anything. I'm making a separate petition because, you know, I just just to remove the barrier. So it's nothing to do with the vote.
But they've already voted to keep the barriers or make them permanent.
Well, excuse me, and I'm now making a petition to remove them.
And I just asked them if they would like to change their vote on keeping the barriers to removing them, and there was no interest of me.
Will you please take a vote so there's a record?
Yep. We need a motion on the table to completely remove the barricades.
We're not removing it, we're not keeping. It's been.
Okay, so.
Both of them didn't make it, and we'll discuss it again in September.
You're referring to the ones on North Avenue, right?
I'm asking to please tell me why this motion is being rejected.
Nobody made a motion. You petitioned the committee, but nobody made a motion.
Let me make it clear. You just asked to remove the barrier on Clinton Place.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Right? Okay, that was what you had asked.
Correct.
We took a vote earlier. Three people said to remove it. Two people said to keep it.
Okay.
Now, and they're checking with the attorneys, but Jeff will say to this village board, there was not enough, you know, you're supposed to have 4 votes out of 7 in order for this to be a recommendation, right? Am I saying this correctly?
But even if there were 4 votes, it's still going to the board. So it's neither here nor there. The board will know that it was a split vote.
It's going to go to the board and just going to explain.
The board has said it's all on you, though.
Yeah.
So. Right. Kathy has said whatever you say she's doing.
And they will see that it's a 3-2 vote.
I know, but it's not their decision. She's putting it on you.
Right.
This
is
all your decision.
Right. It's our decision. Wow. Okay. And we, the five of us, decided to remove the barriers on Clinton. Okay, that's what we just voted for, correct?
No.
So we're all getting hung up on whether the motion passed or the motion didn't. The motion was the majority here, 3-2 in favor of removing it. That is what will be presented to the board. So they will see that the majority of the present.
No, it wasn't.
My petition doesn't go anywhere.
Okay.
I think the board just said that there are defaults for petitions or has to be as a process. And there's a paperwork that we need to use, but you didn't use it to set the board meeting.
You ignored your rules for Bob Armalis, so you
should follow the process and offer that.
She did that already.
I'm sorry, there is a precedent now, so I don't know what the rules are. Again, I sent a letter to you.
I'm just recommending that you consider that option, because that may be a quicker way to achieve your petition.
Can we just ask that you guys use the survey in this study as the formal petition that is the voice of the residents, as well as the voice of a traffic study expert? That is the petition. Honestly, we could go and survey this entire community again, but you've already done that, which is great. So listen to what they have said. That is the petition. What I find crazy about this whole process is you guys went and rule on all these things and didn't even listen to the people before voting. If this is a democracy, you should be asking for public commentary to make sure you have full understanding of how the community feels, in addition to surveys, in addition to traffic studies, and then say, let's vote on each one of these issues that you guys made us all sit here for 2 hours while you sat and didn't look at data, you didn't look at the survey, and you sat and whack-a-mole, sorry John, but that's kind of what it felt like in the audience, around what decisions you should make. Her petition is clear. You have data. There's no need for a formal petition. You got a survey of residents, and you have a traffic study that tells you the dangers of what you have done. Please, bring those forward, reconvene as a commission as you see fit, and really debate based on real data, real people's voices, and then take a vote, right? That's a democracy process, not let's sit around the table, not present the study, which I was floored you guys did not present that study to start the meeting. Floored. Floored that you didn't start with the traffic study. Before you go start making decisions, someone should say, Let's remind ourselves what this study has told us.
Except they don't like what it says. That's the reason.
That was in the packet.
It's not the basis for your decision,
which is why you didn't.
My point is, as a resident, I shouldn't have to go dig up a packet. I should be able to come get educated by this commission who's presenting the data that they're collecting to inform decisions. I shouldn't have to have a resident go and summarize your study for all of us.
And then be ignored.
And then literally not actually listen to the study and the results of what the study is telling you. So my ask is...
Before you even came. You just said it was in the packet, so you had it before.
Are there any more names on our list?
So it's clear.
I know, but you saw the numbers.
If you don't like it, put it back the way that it was. You don't want to listen to us. You're annoyed. We live there. These are our houses. We're talking about how to live safely and the way we chose to when we bought in this community. You're changing our lives in a serious way. And you blow this off like you don't care and we're annoying and you don't want to listen to us gripe. We don't want to be here either. We want it back the way it was.
I was raised in this community. I came back and lived in this community. I have two houses in this
community. Stop making us feel like we're irritating you.
Yeah.
The barriers irritate us and beyond. Create safety problems and make it beyond inconvenient. Well, I don't think you'd appreciate it if we came over to your house and blocked four streets and put you in the center.
I had a bus hit my house.
My house blew up.
So what, lady? I don't know what that has to do with anything.
My house blew up in River Forks.
I'm ready to rest.
So my house blew up. So I don't want to hear about your bus.
So I should be locked into my house because a bus ran into your house. I should be barricaded into my house.
All right. If you'd like to run any public comment, please come up to the podium, state your name and your address, and please keep it brief.
I've been here a long time. My house blew up.
I've lived here 49 years.
Hang on one second.
It's not a contest.
Sir, hold on.
Can I say one thing? I'm Dr. Tanji Shoku from 1407 Clinton Place. I worked at Argonne National Laboratory. As part of my career, I worked on traffic modeling, worked at CMAP, agent-based modeling for the work on evacuation models for the city of Chicago. I know a little bit about that, and I'm telling you, based on my experience on that, the putting barriers are always the last resort. Always. There's a serious public safety consideration associated with barriers, emergency responders.
These things we've talked about.
You're playing with people's lives.
Ignored.
And I'm going to ask each one of you, how many of you are in that north?
Not a single one.
Not one of them.
And how many here are
Every single one.
Everyone. It's amazing.
Why are we being ignored? There's got to be a reason.
Thank you.
Can I say one thing? Positive?
Sure.
For a change?
Yeah.
Thank you. Because the first thing you did this meeting is to put up a stop sign at Clinton and Lemoyne so that I'm going to be able to travel safely.
Back, by the way. I just have a question
that I wanted to address to you. So in the packet you got this time, it talked about the results on Monroe and William, and it gave the percentages that we had discussed earlier, but there was a statement that I referred to that said, with both of them, even with the increase in traffic volume, the road was expected to operate safely and without congestion, and that was with regards to Monroe and William. So I just wanted to maybe put it out there for us to understand, is that truly safe in terms of the part of the arguments here was that it's above the 1500K KLA study acceptable amount, and the result that I went into this meeting with was that it was called considered safe. So it's just a better understand that.
So the peak hour numbers that were gathered in this recent round of data collection, the peak hour counts indicate that the streets would still operate under safe conditions for a local roadway.
Right.
I think the 1500 and the larger numbers that you're seeing that we're given to you all tonight, I think it was those percentage increases for the peak hour counts applied to a daily count.
So there's a bit of an extrapolation there that isn't necessarily a direct translation.
Right, okay.
As long as that's clear.
At that point, so the numbers were given by them are not the same as the numbers.
Correct, and it's a translation of the percentage increase.
Got it, okay.
Can I address this point and explain actually, it's not actually like the easy as you say. So it is true that I have assumed the same percentage is applies also to the non-peak hour. But on the other hand, this is a correct assumption because it's not that the peak hour has been multiplied by 24. What I did, I took the daily volume from the KNOA report, which includes both the peak hour and non-peak hour, and then I multiplied for 300%. Because it is true that there is a 300% increase in the peak hour, it's very likely that there is also a 300% increase in the non-peak hour.
Sure, and I was trying to explain just that, so yeah, I'm sorry if I misinterpreted that.
Let me finish.
Oh, okay.
And this is the way I got that number 21, I don't remember, 100 or whatever it is, which is much higher than the 1500. This is considered by the IDOT and the KOA report as the upper limit for a safe daily volume for a residential street. So yes, my numbers are correct. There is an assumption, and this is due to the fact that the collection, that the data that have been collected were not sufficient to make a better study. But again, my assumption is correct. I did not multiply peak hour by 24.
And I never tried to imply that.
So because if there is a 300% in peak hour.
No, you implied she was wrong, John.
No, I wasn't.
No,
I was trying to explain her math. I was trying to explain her math. So if you guys are done, I think we can do a motion.
I make a motion to call it a night.
Now it's funny?
Second.
No, I'm just going to say that her math, whether it's at the extreme end or not, okay, guys? Still, it's 2,300 versus 780, okay? So even if she's half wrong, it's still over the 1,500. So to sit and interpret and say, oh, I walked in today thinking this was safe, where did you come to those conclusions? And stop looking at
this. To you now because I'm not care.
I'm going to be on record. And I read the minutes.
They won't listen to anything that disagrees with what they say.
I'm just saying, like the traffic report says there are no recommendations for modifications to the roadway. And that's where we.
But they also said that before you put the barriers.
But the KOA tells you, you don't have to go beyond the map here. My point is, whether her numbers are overstated slightly by taking peak over 9 peak, the reality is that even if you went half down during non-peak, you'd still be over 1,500. Just do the math.
There is another point here where I don't have a number of this one. But if you look at what he said, okay, according to whoever wrote this report, it's okay now for William Street. And then what you have to look at, it's at the number of cars on Clinton and Body Brake before the barrier.
Exactly.
Okay, so guess what? Those numbers are lower than the current numbers on William. So if the current number on William Street are fine for whoever wrote this, which is the village, why they were not fine for the Body Brake and Clinton Streets that they requested to put the barrier? They were half the value. So where is the rationality for such a thing? They see William is about twice as Clinton and about twice as Body Brake. Oh, let's put the barriers on Clinton and Body Brake. What kind of reasoning is this?
You know, one thing I just want to say. The goal here is cut through traffic.
The facts are you've been misled.
You don't live there, we do.
But we don't, it's
many
the facts.
And you're saying that the people going down,
I'm glad you're amused. But these are our
now
lives.
That, That was a massive.
They're still, they, okay.
Listen, there's always cut through traffic. Always. People are always turning left illegally on the park. There's always cut through traffic through River Forks. Always going to be. Always. Unless you want to be North Riverside and make us all circly and round, and why they did it on purpose so people would never cut through, you're going to have cut through traffic. All you're doing now is you're making streets more dangerous. And that's all. You're making two streets with people fully annoyed because they have to do circles to get home. And then you're making a lot of other streets more dangerous. So you've annoyed two people, or two blocks, and you're putting in danger kids and families in another two blocks. When before, it was pretty much the same as the rest of River Forks.
Exactly.
It really was. And none of you live there. So why don't one of you rent an apartment over there? No, live there for two months.
You want to put a ferry in your apartment. The numbers are not going to change.
Wait, listen to me. The number
of people cutting through will remain the same. It's what street they're going to take. So if we have, I'm just going to make a number up. If we have 5,000 people cutting through from North Avenue, it's just what street do they take?
Okay. But if you look at the data, if you look at the original data, all the before you put the barriers up, none of them were over 1,500. Not one. And Clinton and Bonnie Gray, if I remember correct, one is 486 and one 681 or something close to that. Now I don't know what the two have gone down to, but the other ones that were at 782 and I think what was Monroe?
1526.
No, Monroe was at like 1100.
Wait, the point.
Are now shot straight through the air.
She hasn't had a chance.
The point is, if free traffic is not going to change, why are you doing any barriers?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to change regardless of what you do, then don't do anything.
Right. This doesn't make sense. You just told us you can't stop. We just said we want to remove Clinton.
No, but all of these barriers, we don't care about traffic. Listen, you have made the Northeast quadrant dangerous and not fun to live in. Okay, you have made it not fun to be a resident.
Exactly.
You guys love being in River Forest, yes or no? I'm just asking, yes or no?
Of course we do.
You have made it not fun for us to live here anymore. We don't like it. It's not enjoyable when we can't get home, when we can't go to our house, and you have made it dangerous. The cut-through traffic, you just admitted on this that it will never stop, and they're all going to keep doing it.
You've just now made streets more dangerous.
And because of two people on Bonnie Bray that have a few connections, and I don't want to hear it, have a few connections, they get their way.
And trust me, I'm from River Forest.
I've been here for 45 years. I know how it works. Okay? It's very dangerous and not happy to live there anymore. And you guys love River Forest. We love River Forest. If we didn't love our city, we wouldn't be in here. We'd sell our house for a lot of money and go somewhere else and pay a lot less taxes. But we love River Forest. We love where we live. We all bought our houses or rent where we are. Some of us open businesses where we are because we love this town.
Okay, I don't want to sit here and argue, but let me, if we remove the barriers, where is this traffic going?
It's going back to where it was, and it's less dangerous. You have just made Monroe and William death traps. Before we had four streets with zero death traps. Okay?
Right.
But you made somebody who has a little bit of power on Bonnie Gray, I'm not mentioning names, but we all know, hey, I make a complaint and I will get what I want. And they did. And they got their barriers. So they don't have much traffic anymore. Because that's what they wanted. But everybody else got screwed.
Right.
Everybody. So if you get rid of all the barriers, we go back to 626, 486, 780, and 1192.
And
if you think
just remember also those numbers before you quote them too closely.
Now, I get that. But we'll handle the facts.
Nothing has been seconded.
2022.
We have to vote on it.
March of 2022, COVID was far, traffic patterns were already far resumed by March of 2022. I know.
But even at a 20% increase.
Yeah. Well, we're tired of talking. Take the measures now.
Yes.
Mr. Carroll?
Yes.
Mr. Osgood?
Yes.
No, they don't.
I'm happy to continue chatting about it, but I mean, we
don't want to talk.